Thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped theme monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beer selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com.
Proper sport at 6. You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
yes!
Win!
Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's lost the ball.
It's off.
He's off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson. Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
It's that time of week again, 6 until 8, every Monday night, 2 hours talking about the greatest game of all. It's the awesome foursome. Remember them when Bradford were good and they had four big fellas coming in? Well, it's the same here in the studio. It's Mark Wilson, Richard Shawright, Phil Kaplan and Gary Schofield talking all things rugby league. I've got one question. Just how hot is that Leeds United ball in the Challenge Cup? How many good draws are they going to get? Unbelievable. And is revenge on the cards for the Castleford Tigers and Leeds this week? We'll find out. We'll get Scully's opinion on St. Helens if you're a Saints fan. Ooh, he's not going to pull any punches tonight. We'll talk about that. And we've got a question. We're going to put this on Twitter. What is going to last longer, the DFS sale or Jeff Toovey's holiday at Bradford? That's what we're asking. At RL on our Y, if you want to get in touch on Twitter, you know the drill. You want to get in touch on Facebook, you're more than welcome. Anyone who gets in touch with the show tonight, you're in the hat to win 2 tickets for the Magic Weekend this weekend. We will, of course, open that up to our podcasters, so the deadline is 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, so all the podcasters have got a chance to have a listen. Send us a tweet, tell us you want the tickets, and you will go into the hat as well. Another big week. We're looking forward to the Magic Weekend. Are you going? Let us know. Or are you going to be watching it on the TV and listening on the radio, of course? It should be a cracker. Wakefield into the quarterfinals of the Cup. Featherstone Rovers into the quarterfinals as well. Leeds there, not surprising given the draw they've had. Castleford taking on Hull. What about Wigan Warrington? All to be decided. We're going to talk about it all here on the Rugby League Show on Radio Yorkshire.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Indeed. We're back. Phil, can you confirm that you weren't kidnapped last week and you were absent with due cause?
The extradition papers were served and they allowed me back in the country from the south of France.
There were people asking if Scully had locked you in a cupboard.
No, he sent me out to get him some duty free, and the list that he gave me took me till Monday to gather it all together.
Yeah, he needed an army of vans to bring it all back.
I'll tell you what, sooner or later, he will be locked in that cupboard and have a thrown a key away if he doesn't admit for the Albert Kelly situation.
Hold on, we had a great tweet from Sid. Sid has won Twitter this weekend.
Where's he from, Sid?
Sid is a big old KR fan. He's always seen every week. He's a regular listener, hats off to him.
Yeah.
One of thousands. And he said that Scully should replace Graham Norton on the Eurovision. And he said, I can imagine him saying, I'm telling you what, Phil Kaplan, if Albert Kelly had a sung for Great Britain, they wouldn't have come bomb. And I just thought, I'll give you that, Sid. That's a great tweet.
Sid, do you not agree with the legend? If Albert Kelly had played in one of them games, come on, Sid, you would still be in Super League. And if Phil Kaplan, he's going to admit something else, he won't come out of that cupboard again. It was only a tester last week. He won't be let out again, I can reassure you.
How come Australia in Europe Eurovision?
Yeah.
No, well, I don't know. I don't know.
Were they playing Heritage
players? They gave us 12 points. I said Scoria wanted them sent back. Yeah. They don't want them. Don't want them.
I must say as well, and I know we're all going up to the Magic Weekend, we're going to the great city of Newcastle, but I've got to say, Matt Wilson, please, please, if we're looking to go out for a few sherbets after, please don't wear that shirt, or else we won't get it.
Well, people are watching on Facebook. Jack Wills, this posh, you know,
listen, don't be wearing that shirt.
This is not the old Belle Isle rubbish.
We'll never get in anywhere.
You might be going to a country and western bar.
They'll think we've got to come into a fancy dress or something, please.
Please, you're not wearing that shirt.
Please don't wear that shirt.
I'll be looking a bit dapper.
And if all the fans are going up there, certainly you said talent fans, when I finish with you tonight, I'm sure you'll be lucky to buy me a few drinks, you Saints fans, because I'm going to be sticking up for you Saints fans. Ed's sticking up for you players. I will be you said talent fans. Yeah. So I'll be looking for a couple of quiet ones up
just,
for the Magic
just
Weekend.
Just quietly as well. Richard Shawright, he's obviously with us tonight, and he's dreaming of the double. He's dreaming of the double now.
I didn't recognise what's happened to the beard.
Double at Wakefield. You heard it here first.
Where's the beard?
Well, I got bored, didn't I?
You know what will happen now? If Wakefield stop winning because he shaved his beard off, it's like Samson.
It's not one of them, is it?
I just want to point out, I've got the Rugby League Express in front of me. 13 rounds of Super League, 13 rounds of the Championship. Other radio stations are doing their first Rugby League programme of the season tonight.
All right, calm down. People know. We don't have to do that. Have you calmed down now?
Yeah.
Are Wakefield going to do the double?
Probably not. But
You give him the big build-up and he lets you down, doesn't he, every week? What do you make of the draw, by the way?
Good draw. Interesting draw. Could have been worse. Could have been Cass. Set up to be a good game. So hopefully playing well. Wakefield are playing well. Hopefully they'll both be playing well by the time we get to the quarterfinals.
Did you forgive Danny Kerman in commentary at the weekend?
I thought it was great.
I'm not supposed to say this as Wakefield captain, but they are good to watch.
They are good to watch, though. They are good to watch.
Who's Salford?
No.
Cass. Oh, yeah. Well, they are. You know, everybody's got to, you know, respect the way they're playing. It's as simple as that. Hey, Mark, as well. Taking off away from Richard's side, Wakefield. I'll tell you what, they're playing some smart chats in Rugby League, and I say I've mentioned it before, and I'm going to mention them again here again. Liam Finn and Liam, you know, you've got the nickname from the boys here at Radio York, saying Liam the Slug Thing, but won't be for sure. Finn is Wakefield's best player this year, and he may be a little bit slow on the legs, but one thing for sure, he's not slow between the ears. What a quality player he is, and the way he gets him around that field, his tactical and his vision and his awareness is good, his tactical kicking is quality, 9 from 9, and from all parts of the field, we were there, Mark, on Friday night,
yeah,
and his tactical kicking alone. I tell you what, I'm glad that Wakefield has signed him up again, because he's the main man this year at Wakefield, and I just hope he can score a try at the Magic Weekend. Don't matter what sort of distance he goes, because we all know, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
When chopped down by a worm.
When that worm chopped him down 2 metres away, he was going under the black dot, but he got caught by a worm. And so, Liam, you know, the lads here, not just me, Liam, Mark Wilson and Richard Shawright and Phil Kaplan, we've all given you the nickname, the Slug. So if you score a try this year at the Magic Weekend, we will change it to Liam Usain Finn. So it's up to you, son, but one thing for sure, it's very, very quick between
these. Why hasn't somebody signed the Slug?
Why doesn't somebody what?
Signed the Slug.
What, the worm, you mean?
Yeah, or the worm.
Him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
If we're handing out plaudits early, shout out for the Barrow fans that were ahead in Lee yesterday.
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah.
Absolutely outstanding. Travelled in numbers. There were at least 700 or 800 of them. I think they bought 12 buses.
Twelve buses, yeah.
They were all in the bar afterwards, the main long bar that was open for everybody to go in. They were the last to leave. They had a wonderful time. They created a fantastic atmosphere. Absolute credit to their club. I hope they enjoyed the day. I hope they had a safe journey home. But they were fantastic yesterday.
And see, also as well, the great thing about it and all, the decent crowd as well, 5,228. So, yeah, all right. I spoke to Paul Cleary today, Phil, and yeah, he wasn't too happy with the performance because, you know, they was never going to win the game, but it was a matter of staying in the game for a long period. But unfortunately, after 12 or 15 minutes, you know, they came up with the silly mistakes and it cost them. But I say, the atmosphere, what the Barrow fans, you were a credit to your club yesterday, not just, as I say, supporting them and fully supporting them for the full 80 minutes. Great response when they scored the two tries, but also nicely for the club, Phil. They've gone back up the M62, the M6, a nice payday, a nice check in the back pocket. Yes, Barrow supporters yesterday, you were a credit to your club.
I think we need to talk about fixture lists and putting an onerous task on clubs like Barrow, what they've been asked to do this week has been horrendous. And if we're serious about duty of care, we've got a second Easter weekend coming up. We need to start taking seriously how we treat players. So I'm sure we'll talk about the, you know, Barrow going to Toronto this week, but their fans were absolutely magnificent.
I hope you're asking me to treat the St Helens players nicely tonight.
Well, I thought we'd get the niceties out the way.
I can tell you I'm not.
And then we can all go and have a cup of coffee. You can have your rant. And then,
I won't be ranting, I'll be just telling it as it is.
Ask you to save it, because we've got a slight issue with Facebook at the minute. People, you can listen. Do they listen? Other than on DAB, you can listen online.
RadioYorkshire.co.uk. Why are there? Click on
listen. We're all mended. You haven't missed anything. We haven't had a SCOE rant.
We've been hacked.
We've been hacked, have we? Like some ransomware.
I'm making it up. Trying to be topical, but we are working.
Fake news.
We're back.
Well, we paid tribute to Barrow's fans.
Yes, we did.
For anybody that missed it, you were brilliant.
Well done to Barrow. So don't forget, anyone who gets involved tonight, you can, of course, get in touch on Twitter, at RL on OI. You can get in touch with the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. And anyone that does, been hacked to win two tickets for the Magic Weekend.
By the way, putting out compliments, Mark. You had a nice couple of days at Chester Races last week.
Yes, I did.
The great doctor looked after you. So
courtesy of Dr. Marwan Kukash.
A big thank you live on air now for the great doctor. Looking after you?
No, I thanked him personally. He knows I respect
his hospitality. Well, what about saying thanks for the legend and getting your hospitality sorted?
Well, thanks for actually not coming. It made it a lot more enjoyable. So, yeah, I'd like to thank you for that. If you need a note to give to your lovely lady, you know, next year that you'd be allowed to come out, then try and sort it out a little bit more in advance. Apparently 6 months' notice wasn't enough for you this time, so
harsh.
We'll see.
Mr. Wilson, a bit harsh.
I only need to admit it live on air, you're under the thumb.
He had a nice dinner Thursday.
Good dinner Thursday. Move on.
Oh, you see, he doesn't deny it, does he? Don't deny it.
Listen, I wear the trousers.
It's all about taking responsibility for your performance, Schofield.
I take responsibility for my own performance. Don't worry about that. I wear the trousers in our house. Dear? I can reassure you.
Dear?
It's just that the skirt makes the decision.
Hey, here we go.
The problem is, he won't be wearing them in the hotel room this weekend. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But was it nice, even though it was, you know, the result was probably never in doubt yesterday, Henley, just have a different fixture, because we get the same fixtures all the time. Same Super League teams play each other twice, three times a season. It's getting to be like the Scottish Premiership, where they play each other 400, 500, 600, 700 times. Just nice to have something different. I guess the result may not have been in doubt, but at least it was something different.
I'll tell you what, because we'll build up to this, certainly from the St Teller's point of view. So I'll build up to it now, just a little bit. I'll just give it a bit of a taster when I'm going to get it to them players at St Teller's. Because when you looked at the three Championship clubs who played the Super League clubs, Dewsbury on Friday night, Swinton and Barrow, who both played Leeds and Wigan, respectively, on the Sundays. One thing what them three teams did and what their players did, they played for the full 80 minutes. They knew they wasn't going to win the game, you know, but what them players did, for the full 80 minutes, even the Barrow players yesterday, who, I say, after 15, 20 minutes, the game was gone due to their own mistakes. But what they showed desire, they showed some commitment, and they showed some enthusiasm. And as I say, compared to that St Helens shambles, what they produced on Saturday, we all know how Castleford, how good they are, you know. So I'm not going to be talking about Castleford because everybody knows from there. But what I'm saying is to you, St Helens players, before I get ripped into you, I can reassure you. But what I saw from the Championship clubs was desire, enthusiasm, and commitment. And even your assistant coach, you St Helens players, has even said, "You give in. That is not acceptable."
No, not acceptable at all. Right, let's see what's going on the old social media. Well, you know the drill by now. If you want to talk about something, then get in touch on Twitter at RL on OI or via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook.
Now it's time to praise Castleford in this new slot. Mary says, just how good is Ben Roberts? That kick for the try from Minikin. Yeah. Was it beautiful, wasn't it?
Pass it inside, Ben. Nah, we'll go for the kick to the...
He sat there at home.
It's like artistic... what do they call it?
Artistic impression.
That's the one, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Something...
The entertainers.
Yeah.
Scott asks if anyone can stop them. They are playing the form of what champions are made of.
They are, and as a Castleford backer, I'm delighted, but sadly, I don't get paid out in May.
Well, I'll tell you what, did you listen to what Ian Watson said when they beat Cass, what, about 6-7 weeks ago, when he says he's worked Daniel Powell out as a coach? He did it when he was Featherstone coach, so I'll tell you what.
You know what, I was happy, because they were in the last three or four, weren't they? Yeah, the last four, yeah, and I thought, yeah. I don't want to get
so it will be interesting if they do get... through to the next round of the Challenge Cup, if they meet each other in the semi-final and then the next fixture, it will be quite interesting, because I'm sure Dallas took note of that comment from Ian Watson, to be honest with you. Hey, but fair play to Watto. Fair play to him. He reckons he's worked it out. He's worked it out. Well, fair play to him.
Well, we'll find out.
I think,
absolutely.
Was it 2005 Leeds had a blinding regular season, scored over 1,000 points. Everybody was saying, let's give them the title in May. It's when you get your injuries, it's when you lose your form. It happened around the time of the finals. They won nothing.
Yeah, but Cass don't get injuries, Phil, and they're not going to lose the form, are they?
No, I'm saying it probably is too early. Okay. In answer to
Do you know what also as well? One of the comments what I heard from the Casford players is that when they're training, it's all fun. Isn't that what it's all about? I keep saying that about man management. That's what Darryl Powell brings to that. That's what he brings to that side.
It's fun with a purpose. It's not just go out and, you know, enjoy yourself.
Absolutely, yeah,
it's structured
it,
fun.
Yeah, of course it is.
Like this show, it's structured. And everyone knows
Whereas
what they're doing.
St Helens,
well,
who
you... Well, told me that it's structured, to be honest with you, but...
St Helens, who you may want to mention later, they don't seem like they're having any fun whatsoever, either... on the field or off the field, talking about loss of confidence, self-belief.
I want you to save yourself going till 7 o'clock
don't peek
for the St Helens rant. We're going to build it up.
Well,
7 o'clock.
We're going to say, right, I can't wait any longer. Ripping at you, Seth. You say it, fans, I'll tell you what, you're going to be delighted what I'm going to say about your players, because, Wolfie, for sure, they are cheating you, St Helens fans. They are cheating you. And there's plenty to come yet, I can reassure you.
Okay. More so. Media then, what's happening?
Yeah, Richard Casmali's been in the studio. Is it time to have Challenge Cup games on the season ticket, stroke card, or a hugely discount, or are we just tight northern folk? The problem is, and this is in football as well, isn't it? People don't want to pay to watch games that aren't on their season ticket, FA Cup, League Cup, even the playoffs. Wasn't it a sellout yesterday at Huddersfield? Biggest game in however many years for Huddersfield Town was not a sellout.
It's a good point. Should we have all four games at one venue, Phil? Is that maybe the way to go?
The issue is, what do we do with the Challenge Cup more than discounted tickets?
Irving wrote this week, speculation the final might not be at Wembley.
I think there's a 10-year agreement still left at Wembley. It's when you play at Wembley, I think, is the first issue. August now does not work. It's the last bank holiday of the year.
Yeah.
It's the weekend when more than any other activity is going on in all walks of life. Mm-hmm. That families take holidays because it's the last chance they're going to get before Christmas. So I think we're playing it absolutely in the wrong slot. That's one thing. The other thing is, we know now, and it was proved at the quarter-final stage, that part-time and full-time does not mix. That when we get to the latter stages of the Challenge Cup, which is why teams are coming in later, it's going to be another Super League fixture, effectively. You're not going to get that romance of a Featherstone getting there anymore. And that's a fact of life, unfortunately. So how do we make the Challenge Cup more exciting? Well, one of the things I think you could do is play the League One Cup final as part of Challenge Cup weekend. So when we go to Blackpool the week after next, and the first game is the League One final that is deemed so insignificant that a broadcaster won't even broadcast it, why not allow teams like Barrow and North Wales to play at Wembley? The likelihood of them ever playing at Wembley again is minimal. Yeah. That competition, we now know who the finalists are. Move the Challenge Cup final back to May. Make it a doubleheader in some way so that you can get four sets of fans there. Mm-hmm. And add some romance back for the neutral to go, because at the moment there isn't any.
Would you be up for that, Scotty? Right. I'll tell you what, Barrow would take a few down, if they, wouldn't they?
I agree with that, totally. Yeah. I keep saying Phil Capper should be the marketing manager for the RFL. I do want to say, he comes up with some great ideas. I'm all for the Challenge Cup being moved, because it's been proved.
Why are you being nice to Phil?
I am sometimes. And
You know it's not in your contract, but you're not allowed to be nice to Phil.
I am sometimes, because, you know, I'm getting this feeling that I'm going to get an admission from him. I'm going to get an admission from him over the Albert Kelly situation.
It's the old reverse psychology.
He's more likely to get an admission into the Leeds Hall of Fame.
What a great night that was with Phil, wasn't it? Great night. Bit harsh, that. But, I agree with that. Yeah, the Challenge Cup is the wrong place from there.
Moving back a step, how big would the semi-finals have been, knowing that there's a place at Wembley at stake?
Absolutely.
You know, it then builds up even more on the game, doesn't
Absolutely.
Well, I think, again, we go back to... We'll talk about the whys and wherefores of Magic Weekend, and is it at the right venue, and why would it be moving? We knew before the start of this season that there was going to be a difficulty getting the same level of fans into Newcastle this year as there has been in the previous 2 years, purely on the basis of the fact that there is no Hull derby. So why did we not look to do something just a little bit different to entice folk, both from here,
yeah,
who may be stopping going up in the numbers that they were, and certainly in the northeast region, by giving them something different? If they haven't got the whole derby, well, what can we give them? Why on earth, last week, did Newcastle play Toronto at home? Surely, if this had been the first game on the Sunday, people who were there on the Saturday would have, you know, would have stayed on maybe and thought, oh, I want to have a first glimpse live of this Toronto team. And the people of Newcastle would have actually got to support their team, Newcastle Thunder, in arguably their biggest home game of the season. Mm. Why don't we do stuff like that? Just a thought.
Keep telling you, Phil, you should be the marketing man. I tell you what, though. I'll tell you what. There would have been a Hull derby if Albert Kelly had played in one of them three games for them.
He might have a point. What do you think?
He has a point. He's got the wrong point, but he has a point.
Hold on.
Has he got a point?
I think that they would have been a Hull derby if Albert Kelly had played one of them three games for
them. That's half an admission. I think that's half.
I think if my auntie had had Watsits, she'd have been my uncle.
Watsits? Why? Does she not like walking?
Cojones.
I think there was half an admission there, Matt Wilson, don't you?
They
would have been a Hull derby.
Rich, has he weakened?
Slightly.
Really?
He's wobbling.
There wasn't going to be a Hull derby.
He's wobbling.
Mark said it should be the second Maybank Hall. I think the problem is there that the Football League playoffs take up pretty much the end.
Well, they do. And, of course, I can't remember the Magic Weekend going head-to-head with the end of the Premier League season, which, of course, it is doing on Sunday, which is another goal.
The Championship season has finished, so we'd hope Newcastle United fans, buoyed by the euphoria of their promotion, will think, let's extend our wonderful sporting season this year and go and watch some rugby league.
But everybody, I'd say I've been up there now for the last couple of years, but everybody in Newcastle, you know, certainly, you know, from the pubs and the clubs and all the rest, so they embrace it. They absolutely love the rugby league football.
When you say everybody, it is only still a small proportion. I mean, you've been up today for the previews.
Yeah.
Did you see a lot of advertising around the city of Newcastle to
Well, I mean, we're straight in and straight out, so I think that would be unfair to say yeah or nay. I saw a couple of hundred kids playing on the field. They were having a great time, making plenty of noise as well,
Very noisy. Local media were there.
I don't know, but I have seen that the game's been advertised at the Newcastle game in recent times. Certainly when we were there covering Leeds United, it was advertised on the thing. So they have given it a push, I think. I think, you know...
Excellent.
They seem quite happy. From what I understand, the tickets in the North East are probably as strong as they were last year. It's maybe the fans from our regions and Lancashire that are maybe not quite as keen, and there's a feeling there might be a bit of Newcastle fatigue. I'm not so sure about
that.
Maybe at 8:30 on Sunday night's score we might have a bit of Newcastle fatigue, but until then, we're fully ready, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. I'm buzzing. I like the place.
Are you going to be allowed to go, or do we need to, you know, just fill me
a,
you know...
Have you got a letter?
...scribe a note to your good lady? Are you going to be allowed to come, or what?
Oh, come on, Mark. Come on, Mark.
No,
come
well, on. You know, this is becoming an issue now.
It's not an issue whatsoever.
Richard Shawright will be there.
Hold on, then. We're going there working all day Saturday. We're going working all day Saturday. We're looking for a bit of relaxation. Oh, sorry, Scotty's not taking his missus. Are you taking your missus?
She will be there.
I thought we were going out for a few sherbets.
Well, she'll be relaxing all day. Don't worry about that. The bar opens quite early. She'll be all right.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean we have to go home early like we did last year.
We'll give Richard a tenner and we'll put her in a taxi with Richard. There. Deal.
I'll go back to what you're telling. Elsewhere in the exciting world of social media today. Interesting point from Stephen regarding Magic Weekend. Stick the 5 Yorkshire teams in Catalan in one pot and the 6 Lancashire teams in another. Pull one from each of the Magic Weekend fixtures, Yorkshire versus Lancashire. Will that be better than however they come up with the fixtures?
There's no real meaning, though, is there?
The danger is that now it is the extra weekend, that it has greater ramifications. Now you bring back the eights and promotion relegation. We really need to decide, which we should have done at the very beginning, what do we actually want to get out of Magic Weekend? Is it a promotional vehicle for the sport? We're just going to showcase the best of what we've got all in one place, which would be good enough. Is it going to be to create a Super League club in the North East in as a legacy?
Well, that's
project?
Not going to happen, Phil, is it? You know, because they've sacked my good mate Lee Crooks up there as a development officer, so we're not going to get a Super League club there.
So what do we want
now
out of this weekend?
Well, isn't it just an event?
Is it to create thousands of fans in the North East that will go and watch the international that we're playing there? Oh, no, we haven't announced that we're playing an international there. So we don't actually have joined up thinking as to what we want out of the Magic weekend and the venue that we play Magic at. Because if Newcastle knew that in 2018, when New Zealand come over and face, we believe it's going to be England and not the Lions, that one of those tests has already been earmarked for Newcastle, you can make sense of moving the Magic weekend away. But if we keep it there for 3 years and then we move it somewhere else, what has been the ultimate end game for it?
Well, I reckon International Rugby League will be an absolute.
Well,
it'll go an absolute treat.
World Cup 2021.
Yeah.
We should be announcing now that Newcastle. We don't know the dates. We don't know the teams.
But you've got a test match.
But
a
double-header. You've got two group games, or you've got a quarter final.
I have the opening ceremony there on a Friday night. It'll be absolute sellout.
And then at least when we move out, we can move out saying, but we've left something behind.
Yeah. Newcastle for me is an absolute winner for rugby league.
People want it moved. Apparently, Darren says back to Manchester. Daniel says, don't take it to Coventry. Grounds location not suitable.
It's not big enough. It's not. I'm sorry, but it's not big. It might be a good venue, but 32, is how much does a recall? 32?
It's something like that, yeah.
It's not enough. You're limiting, you're almost, it's like having an England game at the John Smith Stadium. It's small-minded. Get it to the masses.
The problem is the fixtures that they've chosen for Sunday this year would fit very easily into a 32,000-seater stadium.
Fair dues.
Sadly.
Fair dues. I'll ask you the question then. How much would you have got for Leeds, Cass, Wigan, Warrington, double header? I reckon you could get 50,000 of that if you market it properly and take it out on the road.
You also need to decide if 23 rounds is ultimately fair, which it isn't. And it's we talk about the length of the season anyway, but let's include Magic Weekend as a showcase weekend in the 22 fixtures that we play. And so that clubs don't get disadvantaged because one would have to be the home club that is giving up a fixture, every club gives up a home fixture, and that second one is an on-the-road game. So that you would then perhaps have three venues identified a year in advance so fans can plan accordingly, which might be Nottingham, which might be Bristol, which might be London, and that one is designated a home game for one set of teams, and that's on the road, the other is designated as the other home team, and that's your Magic Weekend. But it's 22 rounds.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Chris says we should host it at Elland Road. Magic Weekend, that'd be great. That's spending the game.
From a studio.
Yeah.
A bit low on the travel expenses, though, won't we, Scott? We ought to go out with, would we?
But you'd have more to spend in Billy's Bar.
That's true.
Maybe.
There's not as many pubs around here, is there, as there are in Newcastle. Pete has taken both of the things we're talking about so far. Niall says, by the way, take it to Belle Isle. Pete says, the Gary Schofield Mega Arena. They're building it at the minute.
I thought you were having some work done at home, Scott. I didn't realise it was a 70,000 seater stadium.
Gary Schofield OBE Arena. Pete says,
hey, yeah, get it built. Yeah,
Belle Isle International Stadium.
Well, the Commonwealth Games as well. Has Magic Weekend been detrimental, says Pete, to neutrals going to the Challenge Cup? Organised trips now go for 2 days of rugby, people choosing what event they spend their money on. We were talking about this before, weren't we, with the Challenge Cup attendance and the fact that in the olden days, that's pre-1995 for any of our younger listeners, people used to, you know, lots of neutrals used to go to Wembley for the Challenge Cup final, and now not so many neutrals go to Wembley for the Challenge Cup final. So why is that?
It's the wrong time of year, that's why, isn't it, I reckon. Wrong time of year, is it? Bank holiday Monday in August. Bank holiday weekend. Yeah.
Is that because of TV, or can we just play it whenever we want and say to our broadcast partners, this is when it is?
I think the broadcast partners are very, very keen to move it. The intransigence is coming from the governing body.
Where do they want it, then? Do they want it back?
Well, I think they think it detracts from Magic Weekend if they move the Challenge Cup final close to it. Of course, you could move Magic Weekend as well.
Could do.
We can do anything. It's our sport.
I'd move the Magic Weekend, me. I wouldn't have it the Saturday, Sunday. I'd have it Friday night and Saturday.
How many games? You can't have that many games on a Friday night.
Well, no, we'll just have the two games and four games on the Saturday. Can't you? Say, for instance, on the Saturday.
What time is your first game kicking
off? 12 o'clock. You can have the Catalans on the school because nobody's going
to be there. On a Friday?
No, not on a Friday, no.
When are you going to play on a Friday?
Friday, kick the first game at what? half past seven, 7 o'clock, and then the next one quarter past nine. Be a great night, and all the speckers would stay for the weekend. Friday, Saturday night, Newcastle would be rocking. I'd change it to Friday, Saturday night, mate.
You'd have to have a day off work to go.
Half a day. Well, it's only 2 hours up the road for all those northerners, isn't it? Mm. I'd do it Friday, Saturday night, mate.
Not so sure about that.
I like it when people come up with mad ideas. Not Nigel's having a nines tournament for all the clubs in all three divisions. That'd be good. It would be all right. It'd be all right. We like nines. Chris says, and I'm trying to work this one out. How about a magic weekend where every team plays each other over 10 or 15 minute halves and then have the top eight have a playoff on the Sunday? I don't understand that one.
It's like an under nines competition, isn't it? On a school, under nines or something.
How do Chris, we, send how that to the RFL.
They'll
give
it
this
for that.
Due consideration.
St Helens might be able to win that if we're against Sunday night. Oh, we'll move on. 7 o'clock for the Scully rant.
Stu's another one who says, why can't it be nines?
Fast I'm not so sure rugby. That's a gimmick. You know, I'm not so sure we're that bothered about now. Everyone, oh, get it nines, it'd be brilliant. It'd be absolutely brilliant. I'm not.
Nines is like seven. It's a pre-season tournament, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not,
I won't be. No,
it's not an in-season tournament. No,
I don't think so.
No, I'm not having that. No.
I like Chris coming up with it. We like different ideas.
Oh, don't mind the ideas. You know, they're there to be discussed.
Yeah. Chris says, tell Scully there's seven fixtures on Magic Weekend. No, there isn't. There's six. Three on the Saturday, three on the Sunday. Yeah. There used to be seven. And there are 14 teams, but aren't they anymore? Because they got rid of two of them.
I think nines is worth debating if we are going to have a World Cup in 2019. How are we going to get to the point where we've educated our public that nines is part of what we do, but also that the players have played enough of it at a high enough level for it to be worth having a World Cup? There's got to be some kind of a process. But you don't just say, oh, we're having a nines World Cup in 2019.
I know the NRL, they have it, but it seems to me some of them are losing interest in it because they're getting injuries, etc., etc. And it's worth noting that Rugby Union nines is completely separate.
Oh, yeah,
the
sevens,
union
Are we having a nines World Cup, are we?
2019.
Are we?
The interesting thing would be if it was nines, is would you generate a new audience? Because I think if there was a all cash incentive for the team that won it, I don't think there'd be any doubt that clubs and players would get behind it. So for that one weekend, you're not playing Super League, you're not playing in the Challenge Cup, it's a one-off weekend, £100,000, winner takes all. So there's an incentive. But would we get a different audience, do you think? For some of the traditionalists that might not go, would you get people in the North East saying...
It's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, but
you can't go and do it
anywhere. Is it 2020 cricket? Is it the fact that you might get a younger audience?
I'm not so sure it is.
The other thing with nines is every team would play three times. So you go and you watch your team and they lose, that's your weekend over, you go home. But actually if they're playing three times and on the Sunday you've got a plate and a bowl and a title, you can actually stay for the weekend and watch your team play on both
days. Is that a club competition or a nation competition?
It's going to be a nation one, but you've somehow got to generate players that play the game and an audience that appreciates
it. But how many nations are we going to have in the World Cup then?
In the Nines World Cup?
Yeah.
They haven't announced any of the details yet. Or even when or where. But it is just a thought that if Nines is going to be something, you have to start somewhere.
Well, they better hurry up, aren't they? Because 2019 is only 2 years away, so they better hurry up, aren't they?
Yeah, OK. Call what's happening.
Yeah, Paul saying,
media.
Make the Magic Weekend, the round of 16 from the Challenge Cup, four games on each day. Sid says we should give Scotty some stick for those shorts he was wearing.
Oh, yes. Have you seen that? But when was that, an old picture?
It must have been.
There's a picture of you and Ikram Butt on the... I think it's when you were in... you're having a go at my shirt, right? I want you to walk around Richard's computer, you to defend those shorts.
I tell you what.
Defend those shorts.
I tell you what. How good is that? How good is that? I tell you what. If that Justin Albrook sees that and St Helens, he'll want me there as number six. He'll make me captain if he sees that picture. I'll tell you what. Ah, well, do I look there? Them shorts are sensational. Tell you what. How well does that look? Stick that out on the Twitter, honestly. Yeah,
hold on. Are them glasses worth it?
I tell you.
You got them on the wrong way around. Ikram? Ikram looks well.
I tell you what, get
you Ikram, look a bit fat.
Get Ikram outside. I tell you what, them shorts and all, they might have been 30s. They were nipping a little bit, they were 30s. But,
30s?
I tell you what, I look well there, didn't I?
30 yards, they look like.
If you've got your working visa yet, Mr. Holbrook, I'm ready for St. Helens, because I tell you what, I can play with desire, commitment, and enthusiasm.
And shorts.
I'm building up.
Can you run? Can you tackle?
I can't, I won't go look to tackle, but I can if anybody runs at me, but I can certainly
create. You're in then, you're in. I'll do, right, you're in. Right. We move on. That picture, I mean, retweet it now.
That is an absolute disgrace.
Who put it out?
I think it might have been Sid again, look. He's getting stuck into you, he's Sid.
I tell you what, I think that's an absolute belter. Stick it out, Rich, it's a belter.
Remember, everyone who gets in touch on social media tonight has got a chance to win a pair of tickets for the Magic Weekend. You can also, if you listen on the podcast, still enter, send us a tweet or a comment on Facebook. You know the drill, at RL on RY. You can get in touch with her on the Facebook page. And if you see that picture...
I'll tell you what, you see that, when that picture comes out, the legend will be giving the best quote of that picture. The legend will be giving a signed ball by the legend himself to the best quote we think is on that picture. There's a signed ball.
Does that cover swearing or not?
There's a signed ball from the legend to the best quote that's on that picture. And I'll tell you what, there'll be some beauties. It should be playing today. Should be leading England out of the World Cup come 2000. I'll tell you what,
there will be more reference to the size of your shorts. You look like a fat Brian Robson in the 1986 World Cup.
Oh, that's a bit.
Remember them shorts they used to wear?
Listen. Eh? You can't be able to go two legends like that.
Robbo's
an absolute legend at football, and well, say no more.
Keeping his shoulder.
Say no more. I'll tell you what, the best.
I think we should say that there may be. There's got to be some kind of 18 plus on that picture. It's offensive.
It's a post watershed picture.
It is, isn't it, Phil?
Have you stuck it off? Have you stuck it off?
Right, Phil, are they your shot? Because they'd look well on you, not so well on him.
Hey, listen, just because you've got a shirt on tonight, that's an absolute Joe Cocker. Don't be able to go at the legend. That is a peach of a picture. Absolute peach.
It's even worse than that one of you with them big glasses on.
It looks like a back to me Great Britain days.
Great Britain?
It looks like a back. Tell you, the winning quote from that photograph, you get a signed ball from the legend.
I think Colin's currently in the lead. Last time I saw legs like that was at a snooker match. That's currently up there.
You're getting the signed ball.
The last nine's comp, says John, about 4 years ago was a farce. Totally different rules and organised. No better than an amateur comp. Not sure there's an appetite for it. And of course, you will get, as it seems to be happening in Australia now, where less and less of the superstar names are taking part in it, and then it just becomes people wearing shirts of your club, but not necessarily people you have heard of.
Okay.
All goes well for a World Cup, then?
Yeah, it's going to be great, isn't it?
I think that would be good, because there'd be, I mean, you'd say, all right, if you picked a nines team now, who'd be in it? I mean, that would be good, wouldn't it? That would be exciting.
Don't you have to build a market for a new product?
Yeah, maybe. I'm just not sure this is the right time.
No, it might not be, but it's an option for Magic Weekend, perhaps.
A lot of people asking about Ben John's Bishop.
Yes, this is Callum. Should he stay at Wakefield? Why not?
I would be surprised if he left. He's playing in a good team. They're scoring points. They score some good try. I mean, old Mason, Kate and Brown the other day. Tell you what, you won't fancy chasing him for your dinner,
no,
would you?
No, there was a pair of them when they put the burners down. I'll tell you what, there's not too many who could catch him. But I think what Ben Jones has got to realise is he left Leeds to take the money at Salford, and he didn't enjoy that sort of atmosphere at that club. And I say he left Leeds because, you know, he was in and out and in and out, and he didn't feel settled there. But then he took the dollars over at Salford, which is fair play. I don't mind that one a little bit, and he just didn't settle in into that sort of environment, that dressing room. He didn't feel part of it. But now at Wakefield, you know, at times, you know, he'll get the man management around him, where, you know, if he's not playing that well, then he'll get the arms around there, make him feel good, make him feel quality. And I think he's really found his place at Wakefield. I do, and I think he seems to be enjoying his rugby league and all. And he's always had pace, but he seems to be one of these players at times. Yeah, all right. They say. And St. Helens plays on about it as well. We know confidence, but one thing for sure, what I'm seeing here now with Ben Jones is that he's happy at the club where he's feeling wanted, and you're getting the best out of that player. And I think he would be very stupid to leave Wakefield. He's led to believe that they're offering him a good deal, you know. And so don't try and go anywhere else. And just because there might be just a few extra quid in it, go stay where you're happy. And then I say, Wakefield will get the best out of you.
One of the things he always wanted was a crack at fullback on a long-term basis. Well, if you think Tom Johnson's to come back into that team, Mason Caton Brown cements a place because he's doing nothing wrong at the moment. And at some point in the next couple of years, maybe Scott Griggs is going to retire. Yes, you've got Max Jowett, and you'd hope that he'll progress. But what about Ben Jones-Bishop at fullback and those two flyers on the wings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing a good job, he is. And I say, settled. you know, he's enjoying his rugby league, and that's the main thing for me.
It is the probably the contract that he needs to sort out, because it will secure his future. It's the last probably big one he's going to get if he
what
moves.
Is he now? I mean, what is it?
He'll be 26, 27, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So I think, yes, he's got to look after his financial future as well. And if there was rumour to be interest from Catalan, certainly, or other clubs come in with a big money offer, he should consider it. But as you say,
why would he want to leave Wakefield and go to Catalan?
Well, and the other thing about Wakefield is, looking at the league table as it stands at the moment and the way the fixtures may pan out results-wise at Magic Weekend, are we now to reevaluate Wakefield's season and say finishing the top eight is now a given? They're going for the top four.
I tell you what, we're for sure here with Wakefield. How well are they playing? They are playing some very, very attractive rugby league. And you know what Chris has done there? He's sorted out now his halfback situation. He's tried it with Williams and Miller, and Miller and Fane, and Fane and Williams. Now he's realised that Miller and Finney are the ideal combination. The forwards, they do the hard work from there, and they've got some pace in that back line. Not just in the wingers, but the centres and Griggs. You know, at times he spoils himself a little bit when he's trying to cope with the champion play, trying to play like a standoff from there, but he's settled in very well. He's got that smile back on his face back at Wakefield from there. So the balance what Wakefield have got, they're a pretty good side, but also as well, okay, Cass are the entertainers, but I tell you what, Wakefield are playing the right way, and that's a credit to the coach, Chris Chester.
Let's get the opinion of our resident Wakefield doom and gloom, sorry fam, Richard.
No, we're good.
Are you
now.
Happy?
No.
Are you happy?
Yeah, we're good now.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I mean, it was credit to Chris Chester. He said last week, people say, you know, we're overachieving. He says no. He says he thinks they're where they should be, which is what you want to hear from your coach, don't you? So everything in the guard at the moment is rosy.
You've even bought a Superman shirt.
Spider-Man.
I don't know.
Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Man. It's going to be very popular.
I'll tell you what. Them old Spider-Man. He wears tight pants. He wouldn't have got in them you've got on.
I tell you,
in that picture. I'm telling you. You're an embarrassment.
For the Magic Weekend as well, me and Richard Shawright were up in the Premier last year. So the Wakefield fans...
Don't tell everyone where you
said. I'm going to tell everybody. Because the Wakefield fans were there last year. They were giving me a bit of stick. First words they said to me, we don't like you. We love your son. Your son's great because he works for us, but we don't like you. And I thought, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah, but that was my mum and dad, wasn't it?
Because they're always saying, I'll give you Wakefield stick. Now, listen, if you're listening to this show, which I'm sure you have been for the last 12 months, I praise what I'm giving Wakefield. If you see the legend there, nice pint of lager or a pint of bitter.
You're always on the one, just be a
nice complimentary drink because of the complimentary words I'm giving your team. You're playing very well.
So what are you saying? You're being fully nice because you want a pint?
Fully deserve to be in the top eight, and you're playing some very, very good rugby league, yeah, so...
Mine's a bitter lager Guinness.
You're embarrassing.
Well, to the Wakefield fans. Well, you're not just the Wakefield fans. Saints fans, Leeds fans, any fan, if you want to buy the legend, a couple of quiet ones.
Win on Saturday and Wakefield go fifth for at least a couple of rounds.
Well, if they win on Saturday, then they are genuinely not only top six, but they're still top four contenders. That's how tight it is now.
Wakefield will win Saturday. Don't worry about that. I'm just hoping our man... Liam the Slug Finn, he gets
9 from 9.
And so, goal kicking on Friday.
What about last year at Magic?
I think Joe Lettuce has just sent in a winning entry for the
shorts competition.
I don't
know if I should click on this
on.
Oh, no. No, I'm not. Why did I click?
Oh, that is brilliant.
I think that's what took down the NHS.
Our computer's done. I think Joe's winning.
What is it, a minute?
No. We'll have a look for yourself. Superb, Joe.
Yeah,
I think we're going to retweet that. That is brilliant.
Well, what's he said?
Show him, Richard. Okay. Show him.
What's he said?
He says he found your long lost cousin. I'm sorry, I know it's not great radio, but have a look on Twitter at RLonRY.
Who is it?
If it doesn't make you laugh.
Who is it?
I think he's more looking at the shorts than who it is. I think it's irrelevant who it is, Gary. I think you're just getting absolutely annihilated on Twitter. It's brilliant. I love it. Love it.
Plenty of annihilation for a Rugby League Hall of Famer, Golden Boot winner, everybody. Don't forget that.
We would not poke fun at a man who has represented his the Great Britain shirt 46 times.
I think I look quality, don't worry about that. I do.
Let me round up some Magic Weekend stuff. Niall says, since it's been at Newcastle, it's grown more and more each year. Great venue for the sport, pub easy accessible.
Agreed.
Manchester is the worst place to have it, in my opinion.
Keep it at Newcastle. I just don't understand it. You know, the RFL. Why do they want to change it? They've got a great product up there. The people buy into it. The fans love it. I just don't understand it.
Maybe Newcastle City Council won't be offering the kind of financial backing that they have, because haven't they got a couple of very big rugby union finals coming up next year?
They have.
Fair point.
So, and the RFL are a commercial organisation.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, though, Phil, should we be selling our product to say, listen, you know, our product's better than that product. You know, we want to come back here. Yeah, we're shooting ourselves in the foot again.
I think this demand has got to be there, and I think we always mourn we don't have a worth on our sport. If they're not willing to pay, then sadly we'll have to go somewhere else.
What, somewhere like Coventry, where we don't want to go?
Well, look, I'm with you. I don't think that. Just, and it's nothing against Coventry. I just don't think the stadium's big enough.
Coventry Bears might benefit for having it in Coventry.
Oh, Coventry Bears.
Well, here's another idea from Martin. He says, "What about Sheffield? Bramall Lane is a short walk from the city centre. Or do the fellas think it's too small? Nice. Was that 35,000 Bramall Lane? I mean, I should not have been there recently, but
you're a season ticket holder.
I was, yeah. Bramall Lane would be hot. Loads of pubs." Those pubs, grease chip butties, it's all good.
I think if it's going to be a weekend, if we're going to call it...
Go somewhere.
You can't take it to Manchester. You can't take it to Sheffield. Because people will go for the game that they want to see and then be at home to watch the other. Yeah. So, Bristol would be a good weekend.
Stadium not big enough, sadly. What about if you had it at Liverpool, and you had one day at Liverpool, one day at Everton? Would that encourage maybe more people to... I don't know. I'm not a big fan of taking it to Liverpool. I think it's in our heart.
Keep it at Newcastle. Just keep it there.
I agree.
I don't think there should be any debate about it. I agree. Keep it at Newcastle.
Have you still got them shorts that you wore on that picture? Have you still got them?
I may have somewhere. Why?
No, I'm just wondering. I'll bring them with you at the weekend. We'll get you to put them on Saturday. I reckon you'll get arrested.
Right. Forget Liverpool. Forget splitting between stadiums. Here's Vinti. Man, it should be in six different cities in different time zones across the piece. Wigan Saints in Berlin. Get reasonable-sized stadia. Three tickets for all the locals and travelling fans. Times can be scheduled for a continuous Sky broadcast. Rugby league spread across the whole continent stroke hemisphere.
Yeah, the problem there is that six set-up fees for Sky in foreign countries is a very, 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 very big amount of money.
The suggestion in the new issue of 4020 magazine...
Out now. In all good
publicity. ...is why not have it in Barcelona? Give everybody enough notice that the single biggest crowd that Catalan have got for any game is when they played Warrington in Barcelona. That the rugby union top 14 in France, their championship final in 2016 was played in the Nou Camp because there was no stadium in France that was available. 99,000 people turned up. Not because they liked rugby union, not necessarily because they knew who the two French teams were that were playing, but because it was sold to them as an event. And if we gave everybody a year's notice of when it was going to be and booked a stadium in Barcelona, that would be an experience. And you would actually be leaving a legacy behind for the Catalan Dragons and for Rugby League in Spain.
That's not a bad idea, Scully.
I wouldn't mind Barcelona.
It's easily accessible from most of the northern airports. There's plenty of scheduled flights. Fans these days now love these trips to Catalan. It has something that...
Here's a thought, Phil. Get it sponsored by one of said airlines.
Well,
well, there you go. Mm-hmm. They'll get all their money back instantly because everyone's on the plane.
Yeah.
Takes a bit of planning.
You'd have to hire an Arctic Scully for all the duty-free on the way back.
I think you could also say that a broadcaster like Bein, who cover the Catalan games, would be a host broadcaster, so there isn't on-cost for Sky. They wouldn't have to take all their trucks down there. But why not be really, really imaginative and put it somewhere like that?
Sounds good to me.
Tell you,
Barcelona in
Phil Campbell, he should be the marketing.
Right bad you locked him in that cupboard.
He should be the marketing man for the RFL. I'm telling you, the ideas he comes out with, honestly... What a great man to sell our product. Get him in there. Are you listening, Knight? Ralph Rimmer. Are you listening? Roger Draper.
Well, Ralph had a big weekend in Toronto, by all accounts.
Yeah. Also, yeah, where's the media? Where's the media do over in Toronto? What, were we supposed to go out there?
We're not bothered.
Anyway, get Phil Kaplan on board.
We're not cheerleaders, Gary. We're not cheerleaders. Speaking of media people, here's Chris Price.
Hello, Chris.
He says, can we change the name to Super League Rugby Festival so non-fans actually know what it is? Maddy Weekend says nothing about what the event actually is. Plus, if not in Newcastle, have it in Milton Keynes. Easy on the train, decent-sized ground, and an expansion area.
Mm. See, the neutrals think that it's a Penn and Teller concert, don't they? Magic Weekend.
Yeah. Chris, let us have you here. Scully's going to be sounding off about Saints just after 7 o'clock. Let us know what you think. We had a chat with Kyle Amor today. No, he's not pulling any punches. He knows it's down to the players. Need to get themselves sorted out. Right. Wait, hold it.
Hold on, I was just going to say, But do the rest of the players know that?
Well, that's up to them.
Alan's in Spain. He said we should go there. Barcelona's a great idea. Rugby league is growing in Spain. Where are they on the world rankings? The world rankings are out.
Well, they had the Spanish Grand Final last weekend. So well done, custodians of Madrid.
Yeah?
Madrid.
Excellent. Well done.
Why don't you send me out there then? Rather than me doing championship games, why don't you send me in the dock out to Spain or whatever, Barcelona, these sort of places?
I'm worried for the outlay that you'd actually be able to come back. So if we're going to do that and we're going to bust the bank, it's going to be somewhere, preferably where they'll keep you locked up for a long time.
The Guatemalan Grand Final.
Yeah, somewhere like that.
Send us out somewhere.
We're working on it, Scotty. We're working on it. That's why I want you to wear them shorts at the weekend. Hopefully, I don't think 6 months should do it.
Spot on.
Gary Carter says, like Dublin, Paris, Berlin, we'll take everywhere.
But actually, it would make sense to move it every year if you did adopt that policy. So you might have it at Barcelona 1 year, and it might be so successful that Paris would actually want it the following year.
Maybe.
And air travel being what it is these days, and if you book the flights early enough, it's actually quicker to get to Paris or Catalan or Barcelona than driving on the
M62. What do you see with the Rugby European Cup? Goes somewhere different every year, doesn't it? It's like the golf open, isn't it? It's a different place every year.
As a kind of double-headed, don't they, with the Challenge Cup final and then the big one.
Mm. So, doable. I think we might hit on one here. Anything else? Don't forget, everyone who gets in touch on social media tonight, chance to win 2 tickets to go to Newcastle for the Magic Weekend. If you listen on the podcast, send us a tweet at RL on RY. Deadline 10 a.m. Wednesday morning.
Chris says
lots of people.
Is this now this
lovely? This is just beer. This cheap places. Beer, isn't it?
Daniel says not Milton Keynes. Nothing around the ground. There's an Asda. I've been there.
It's in like a shopping complex, isn't it? I have been there.
But if you think we nearly got lost going to Newcastle today, there's no chance of finding stadium.
Yeah, we nearly get lost, did we? We merely took a bit longer than we should have done.
I'm going to defend the RFL from Trinity Seed.
Hold on. We need a board meeting here. Why are you doing this?
I'm thinking if I become a cheerleader, I might get some stuff. So Trinity Seedon.
You'll get some hammer off us.
Do you expect the RFL to organise a tournament in Barcelona? They can't even organise the draw on TV. That is the fault of the broadcaster.
Yeah.
They can easily extend
the
programme.
RFL for that.
If Warrington and Windsor had gone to extra time yesterday, would it have gone on the red button? For highlights of athletics, pre-recorded programme, you can delay TV programmes.
Or you could kick off quarter an hour earlier in the event of it going to extra time.
They'll kick off as late as Leeds and Barrow. At least it had a legitimate excuse. Poor Barrow stuck traveling around Leeds because people doing a half marathon.
Yeah.
Poor old.
I took the wrong exit off the M621.
Well, if you'd have done an half marathon in them shorts, Scott, you would have had some serious chafing.
Have you seen this? He's put the picture of Scottish shorts on the...
Who was?
On the Facebook thing.
Who was?
Whoever's in HQ.
He's getting some good responses.
It's not good.
Let's have a look.
I think he's actually broken the Facebook again.
I think he's...
You've seen the picture.
How many times do you want to see it? It's burned on my eyeballs.
You know what are people saying about it? They must be liking it, surely.
Oh, they are. Oh, no, they're loving it. They're absolutely loving it because
I'll be deciding who gets the side rugby ball because you know the best quote.
So apologies that the feed's breaking up, but we'll kick it when the news is on and fix it again.
Okay. You can listen, by the way, on the website, can't you? RadioYorkshire.co.uk. There's a listen live facility. That's the best one you can.
Put the video up, watch us wave our arms around and stuff, and listen on the link because that's easier.
Yeah, it is. So there you go. So you've no excuses now.
Watching Sky on a Friday night? Turn the commentary down, put radio yours.
That's it, Phil, well done. That's
even
another fiver.
Even like as I was doing this week, watching two different games, so I watched Newcastle versus Toronto and Salford versus UK and listened to Dewsbury Wakefield.
They say men can't multitask.
Nearly heard Scully fall over with the tea.
Yes, that was
with
funny.
The tea?
Well, we went for the tea, right, and bearing in mind we're on air in about 10... In fact, have you got me change? Because you never give me my change the other night.
Well, I've got a change. The tea at Dewsbury, it was £1.50 a cup. You only give me £2.75. £2.50s, even though my lad from Bilal comes to £3. Yeah, so you short-change me by 25 pence.
And then as he's bringing him back, he stops and chats for 5 minutes to every person in the stand.
No, the Wakefield fans, yeah. The Wakefield, I didn't get the three gentlemen's name, but they love the show. The guys were listening tonight, so thanks for the compliments, what you were saying about the legend, and, yeah, and I say we'll keep telling that. Did Dewsbury
make you welcome after all the flack you've given them over recent weeks?
I haven't been given Dewsbury any flack.
Well, I think you may have been supporting their opposition rather than vociferously.
All I've said is, well done, Alden. Yeah, well done, Halifax. And well done, Wakefield. That's all I've said. Yeah, I've not been giving Dewsbury any flack.
What's the common denominator?
But what I will say, Dewsbury certainly found out. For 80 minutes, as I say, the commitment, the desire, they never gave up. And, yeah, they took it to Wakefield at the time. So, yeah, for 80 minutes, Coates Kelly would have been very happy.
Yeah, especially since he's only had 15 fit players. Which was very happy. Made a mockery of the dual reg, though. Didn't it? There is a real issue.
Apparently, we're fixed again. Although Niall has compared the string to a Saints at Cass after 30 minutes.
Oh, come on. Apparently, it was still working on occasion.
Samuel says the Emirates is a decent idea. Loads of bars and restaurants around the area, easily accessible on the tube, an abundance of places to stay in London. I find Watford's a good place to stay in London, nowhere near the city centre.
We asked Chris about his thoughts on Saints, and there was that many messages coming in. I think we missed a couple.
Kyle's right, he says recruitment is a massive factor. Tommy Lee is a middle eight hooker at best. Wilkin is finished. Teo being a total disaster. He was good that time we saw him against Wakefield. Up to eight need to go who aren't good enough. Well, Chris, you and us are the only people who appear to be saying this, because I was watching the BBC Red Button Forum on Saturday afternoon after the game, and I was saying, oh, no, Saints are still good. Oh, you know, they've got quality players. They're not quality, because they're where they are in the table. How many Wakefield players were getting that Saints team?
Saints.
How many Saints players were getting that Wakefield team? Rewind and edit that.
I thought I were going to rip into St. Helens.
Well, you are, but Rich is getting ripped in. Well. You know, what he's like last week. He were getting, you know, I know Rod were on last week, but he were getting ripped in, Rich. I think he's realising he's up his game. Maybe you should take heed there, Gary.
James says, Scummy would do a better job in them shorts than all them Aussies picked for England.
There you go.
That's just somebody who desperately wants to go.
In further news, Gemma Carter is concerned that Scummy's in the same hotel as they are this weekend. Cancelling my reservation now.
There's a lot of premierings.
You're not in the same room, Gemma, don't
yeah. we? Do you know that that Richard's already put a claim in for post-traumatic stress? I haven't been yet. Sharing a room with you.
Well, why do we have to share? Why don't we get expenses out of single rooms?
Look, this isn't another company.
Yeah.
The great broadcaster, of course. We're in a tight ship here. In fact, the expense account is as tight as your shorts. So that ends that conversation.
Aren't we owned by a very, very wealthy man?
Yeah, and he didn't get very wealthy by giving all his money away to you for a jolly up, did he? So we'll move on.
It's
really
nice that the Premier League's not going to break the bank, is it?
Well, Mike's asked from all. Is Phil going to pay for him to go to Barcelona because he's a pensioner and money's tight? We'll put away a bit every week, Mike.
Yeah.
What happened for about another 20 years? But it's right. Neil says, keep magic at Newcastle. It's the only time of the season I don't have to travel more than 90 minutes to get to a game.
There you go.
Keep it at Newcastle. Yeah. Keep it there for me.
So there you go. People say, take it to Edinburgh, and then people say, no, Murrayfield's rubbish. So,
we've been to Murrayfield before. Yeah. It was great, and the round was great, but it was just
a massive walk, wasn't it, to get there? Yeah, it is too far away.
Yeah, there you go. Right, we're nearly done, hour number one. But fear not, unlike St Helens, we will be turning up in the second half. We'll be back until 8 o'clock tonight. Don't forget, everyone that gets in touch will be entered for the chance to win two Magic Weekend tickets, courtesy of our friends at the RFL. You've got to send us a tweet at RL on RY or a Facebook message or whatever, contact via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. If you listen on the podcast, don't worry, you can enter too. You can get in touch until 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning. We have got live rugby league Saturday, Widnes Wakey, Hull Saints, and on Sunday it's the Dragons against the Giants, and it's the big one, Castleford against Leeds. Leeds are telling us there's no revenge in the air. Are they having a laugh or what?
Proper Sport at 6. Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
Indeed, be prepared to fight your corner. Plenty of people getting involved. I mean, that picture on Facebook, apologies to anyone that does follow us on Facebook, but the picture of Scoey, and Kevin asks, is it the guy off Benidorm, the hairdresser guy, which I thought was very, very, very funny, but
we digress. Lots of people have been getting in touch, waiting for Scully's rant. It's coming. It's coming. We've had a few Hull fans asking that he holds on just until after Saturday. Let Hull beat them at the weekend. We are just waiting to go. He's actually making the tea, so we'll be back.
Some of the questions he won't be interesting, Wallace.
Go on then, yes.
Tracy asks us, what is the value of Magic Weekend? Is it just... And we asked this about the Summer Bash as well last year. Is it just an excuse to have a weekend away and create a new event?
I think it is a showcase for the sport, and there aren't many that could have all the teams in the division playing in one place at a time, but I think it's got to be more than that now. That's established.
Oh, by the way, disciplinary news. We still haven't, by the way, heard about last week's League One encounter.
Oh, no.
Between Toronto and Oxford. I'm expecting all the Oxford players to be cited in that one. But no, Keith Galloway...
They've been listed.
Have they got up last week?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they went up this week. Oh, fine, man. Keith Galloway, anyway. Grade A, high tackle, but he's got an EGP, so he'll be all right. Ashton Sims, grade B, standing on opponent. EGP not available. Ooh. So they've done that Thor kit, because he looks like Thor. Won't get to wear it.
Oh, dear.
They've
better do a John Terry, won't you? Yeah. Come running on at the end if they win.
They've even printed his name on the back, because that's the example they used on their Twitter feed earlier. And Chris Hill has received a caution for striking, which we were asked about earlier. If you didn't see the incident, Stephen Bruce says, should he have been sent off for the elbow? I think this was on young Danny Walker, who impressed many for Widnes yesterday. And I think it's fair to say, and people can agree or disagree, the young players did not let Widnes down yesterday, did they?
No, but the thing about that is, I mean, Wigan have re-signed two of their young players today. Two of their young wingers who have made a fabulous impression. Tom Davis in particular have been really, really impressed. Liam Marshall's scoring record is phenomenal. Wigan develop a young player and sign that young player. Widnes at the moment seem to be developing young players and they're likely to lose them. I mean, Matt Whitley was brilliant last year. I don't know if he's been at quite that same level this year, but it looks like he's off. And if you're going to build a club, you've got to keep your promises. If Danny Walker made an impression yesterday, somebody will be looking at him. Widnes have to sign him on a long-term deal.
OK.
Can I round up the Toronto and Oxford thing?
Yes.
Or when I say Toronto and Oxford, I mean Toronto. Sean Penkovich, grade A headbutting, EGP available. Why has he got an EGP? Oh. Jacob Emmett, grade C punching. Callum Winley, grade B punching. He is Oxford. I should apologise. And Blake Wallace, grade B punching. Liam Kay, grade B punching. And Jacob Emmett, Toronto. Other contrary behaviour, caution. So,
are they all Toronto players?
Apart from Callum Winley. Winley. All the rest... Will they be playing against Barrow? Well,
we will see. We will see. Right, Scully, it's that time of the week again where you can get ripped in. So you said earlier, St. Helens. There's people listening in. Some Hull fans are not happy that you're doing this the week before. You are known as Mr. Motivator, and they're worried you're going to motivate St. Helens, but I don't even think even you can do that this week.
Yeah, listen, Hull fans, you won't be worried about this St. Helens side because they are an absolute shambles. And if you've read my column today, Hull fans, in the League Express, I think I've tipped us, yeah.
Hull oh, fans, here we I've go, here we now. Go. Judas, I mean, Judas.
A bit harsh. I think I've tipped us to win by 34
Hold
points.
On. Can I just ask a question, so Phil? Can he be inducted into the Leeds Hall of Fame if he refers to Hull as us?
Probably just revoked it.
There you go. I rest my case, Your Honour. Carry on, Gary.
Yes, so Hull fans, you don't have to worry about losing to St. Helens this week. And first of all, we know how good Castleford are. You know, Castleford are sensational, and the Brandon Rugby League are sensational. But let me just go about this St. Helens side now. And I just want to look at the team that played there on Saturday, as everybody knows. Makinson, Swift, Percival, Morgan, Grace. And I want to leave Grace out of this because the kid... He's a young kid, and
he actually played all right the weekend.
This is what I'm saying about young Grace, and I say this is nowhere near his fault. Farge, Smith, Walmsley, Roby, Douglas, Taya, Knowles, and Thompson, and the captain Wilkin, Scarsbrook, Richards, and Amore. And when I heard the comment from the captain John Wilkin that they're lacking self belief and confidence, what an absolute load of tosh that is, because me, I know myself as a player, and if they are making excuses because they haven't got a coach, they don't deserve putting that shirt on from St. Helens. All they're doing, it's the blame game. They're blaming everything and everybody except themselves as individual players and as a team collectively. I predicted last week, come Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock, Seb Tellin's season would be finished.
And it is
finished. They go to the Magic Weekend, the play Hull. Hull will absolutely wallop this St Tellin's team, because this St Tellin's side, not just as a team, but as individuals collectively, they have no desire, they have no enthusiasm, and also as well, they have no respect at this moment in time for that St Tellin's jersey. And what they are doing, them players are cheating the directors, they are cheating their chief executive in Mike Rush, they are cheating their chairman in Eamon McManus, who's giving them the responsibility of trying to bring the good times back to this great club, but also as well, they're cheating the supporters. Them players themselves, alright, it may have been Kieran's problem, where the style of play didn't come up to what we expect from said Tellin's. We all know from the days from Tellin's. So the players got what they wanted. They got the coach to sack. And now, they are an absolute disgrace to that St Tellin's jersey. And for John Wilkie to say, with no self-belief or confidence, I'll give advice to them St Tellin's players as individuals. Because I can tell you, I could play this game myself a little bit. And what I did, it was quite simple. Look at yourself in the mirror and ask the question, could I do better? And quite clearly, you St Tellin's players, you're a disgrace to that St Tellin's jersey.
Wow, pretty damning. Pretty damning. It wasn't as aggressive as I would have hoped. Not as animated, Phil, but I mean, there were damning words.
Matt, do you know what? It's quite simple here. When you're talking about relative ravings, all right, and being a little bit loud, but what I'm trying to say here, from a coach's management point of view, do you know what St Tellin should look? Have a look at what Paul Wellens did. Was it 2 or 3 years ago when Warrington absolutely walloped him at the Magic Weekend or on a big occasion? And Paul Wellens quite simply said, this is not good enough for this St Tellin's club. These players quite simply take a long, hard look at yourself. I'll tell you what, rewind that. Well, I'll tell you what, also as well, Eamon, if you want me to come into your dressing room, I'll come in your dressing room and I'll tell
them.
And I'll tell them St Tellin's players how rubbish they are. And if they want self-confidence, if they want self-belief, I will give them, because one thing I'll say to them, because you're rubbish and if you don't like it, get out of this dressing room and I'll bring players in who want to play with that desire, who want to play with that commitment, because at this moment in time, they are cheating that St Tellin's club and they're cheating that St Tellin's jersey. I could shout a little bit more, Matt, but I want to be more from a point of view where I'm on management side, and how this Justin Holbrook is going to turn that around, I don't really know. But the simple question is, the St Tellin's players, defensively, they're hopeless, attack-minded, they're hopeless. Have they got the quality? You look at that team sheet there and you're thinking, yeah, they've got quality. It's simple. They're not good enough to play for St Tellin's anymore.
Right, OK. Phil, as the voice of reason, have you got a comeback? That's the first one.
What I thought was interesting on Saturday was that Saints started the game poorly, but by the just before the half an hour mark, had dragged themselves back into it. At 10-4, they were in the game. But then the one thing we know about Castleford this season is you don't want them to have the ball. You certainly don't want them allowed to have back-to-back sets. Because as they proved in the run-up to half-time, they can absolutely slaughter a team if you give them possession. But I didn't see any exit sets from St Helens. We got to the fifth tackle and there was no playing for a repeat set. There was no kicking it behind Castleford and making them turn around and rushing them on the chase. The game turned in some respects on one kick, which wasn't a bad kick from Matty Smith. It landed just in front of the goal line. But an absolutely ridiculous penalty given away by Adam Swift to jump in the air, to tackle somebody when they're in the air. If he'd allowed the ball to be taken and driven the player over the in-goal line and got a dropout, then there's a chance that St Helens might have finished that half still at 10-4. So going at 31-4, the game was gone. The tactical naivety at the moment, I don't know if that is down to a lack of confidence, because obviously I've never played the game, but I would have thought that the tactic would have been deny Castleford the ball. And at no stage in that defining 10 minutes before half-time did Saints look capable of doing
that. And also as well, one of the coaches, Sean Long's supposed to be in charge, but
Valesi.
Yeah, Valesi. And again, which is quite, from a professional point of view, not acceptable. When the coach himself, who is in charge at this moment in time, the players give in. That is not acceptable, Phil. And certainly for a club like St. Helens, we know the history of it, but at the end of the day, when you look at the day and age, and certainly Super League, when we look at the league tables, well, it's turned around. Nobody's got a God running right just to turn up and people are going to lie down for you. So, as I've said over the last few weeks about these St. Helens players, they've talked the talk, but they haven't walked the walk. Now, they can't do anything. They are absolutely pathetic. And for them to say from a point of view with the self-belief and confidence, I can tell all our listeners out there, Lawton was at Leeds, I absolutely detested him as a coach. He detested me as a player and as a person. But the reason why I played for Leeds and I played at a decent consistency week in and week out was my own self-pride, the supporters and the directors. But you said Helens players again. Now I'm going to make raise my voice a little bit. You said Helens players, quite simply, you are cheating that club, and you're cheating the chairman, and you're cheating the supporters. So don't be blaming it that you haven't got a coach. Don't be looking for that self-belief and self-confidence from a coach. It's all about self-pride. It's all about self-pride as a professional sportsman. And at this moment in time, I'd have said, and I'll say it again, you're a disgrace to that St. Helens jersey.
The second half, I think that there's two things. One is we need to keep praising Castleford. It would have been very easy at 31-4. That game's won. It's a cup tie. You don't get anything for winning
it. We all know how good Castleford are, Phil.
Yeah, and I think Castleford were most impressive in the second half when they kept their foot on the gas. It would have been easy for them to take it off, but they wanted to make a point. They certainly wanted to make a psychological point about a team that theoretically should be a rival at some stage. And that's a development of Cass as a team, that ultra-professionalism to really rub it in. Conversely, Saints knew they couldn't win that game from half-time, so I suspect that when you're on a losing run and things aren't going your way, there isn't a lot you can do. You talk about, you know, pride, I understand that, but that game was gone. It's a cup tie, it's not a league game. You're not building something for
Phil, it's a challenge cup
next week.
Phil, it's the Challenge Cup.
What happened in that 10 minutes when they by hook or by crook, got themselves back into the game? They weren't playing particularly brilliantly, but they'd stopped Cass in that opening 10 minutes running away with it. They'd come up with some chase backs by James Roby, some decent drives from Alex. So individually, there were people doing things that were okay. But when it started to go, where was... Who do we look to? Do we look to a Matty Smith and say, look, you were brought into the team to give us direction around the field and that didn't happen? Do you look to the forwards for not standing up as a unit and saying, look, we need to do whatever we need to do to slow this, play the ball down? They didn't seem to do anything in the glare of the brilliance of Castleford. Experience-wise, there are enough guys out there on the field that should have been able to take charge of that situation. But I didn't see anybody.
Okay, right. Plenty of interaction coming in from Saints fans. So let's let them have their say, and then we'll go back to Scully. To be fair, I don't think we've heard a lot that isn't wrong, isn't right, should I say, right now. Go on, Rich.
I know John Wilkin described Saturday as his lowest point in his Saints career, and I said losing to a great team in Castlewood's not really that. Maybe losing at Widnes the week before or a couple of weeks before would be. But I hope he's not listening, because... Well, the fans, they're sticking the boot in. Christine says, I don't think it was worth a further three-year playing contract. If I was Saints fan, I'd be disappointed with that. Ian, too many over-the-hill players at St. Helens. We need a total clear-out. That includes the backroom staff. We started with our new coach. Can we use Saints? Niall says, can't just single Saints out. Castle Hammond leads by 60 and Wigan by 50 at the Jungle. They just blew them away. Still need a feature at home. It will happen to more teams. Down says, Wilkin is finished. And Matty Smith, not creative. Too many average players. Vinty, Wilkie needs to hand the boots up. Nail on the shed door 2 years ago, still waiting for the boots. Jimmy, though, says, Wilkie is devastated about where they are. No feeling to me that he has no pride in the shirt. Steve says, I disagree. Makinson tried, and you can only cover so many people.
Just to jump in there, if you give Scully a Leeds shirt now and asked him to play for Leeds, he'd have pride in the shirt. That doesn't mean now at 50, whatever he is, he's good enough to play. So there's a difference,
course,
isn't there?
Of course, yeah, there's an absolute difference. What I'm saying, with these sentence players, right, it's a blame game. They're blaming everything except themselves as individuals and as a team collectively. Oh, well, what about the performance a week before? Even the coach, the standing coach, says, against Warrington, we only play for 20 minutes. and they got stuffed again. And then last week again. This was the Challenge Cup. This was the do or die for their season. Their seasons are finished. The players have to take responsibility for their performances. And I totally agree with what the St. Helens fans are saying.
Well, like, they haven't finished yet. There's more of it coming in.
And I said it in my column last week. St. Helens have got seven players, I think it was either six or seven, yeah, who I'd keep. The other seven on average, and the other lot I'd boot out. It's as simple as that. So you want to read last week's column for the League Express, the players who I said for St. Helens.
These
players are not good enough, and they're not showing the commitment, the desire, and I say the respect that jersey deserves.
What summed it up, I think, was Paul McShane's try in that blitz period. Because, again, McShane had arguably one of the best consistent 80 minutes I've seen him play. I know he's been good this year, but he was excellent throughout the full 80 minutes.
He won't be far off an England call-up.
On form.
We're talking about the Challenge Cup. You don't get a second chance. There's four St. Helens players around him when he puts the ball down for that try. Shouldn't have been able to score that. For brilliantly though he played, that for me summed up what was wrong with St. Helens. As you say, it's do or die, but they couldn't keep it.
They are an absolute shambles. They are. And I tell you what, I hope the players are listening. But I tell you what, if you're not listening, players, I hope somebody...
You'll be amazed who listens
well,
to this show.
Sorry?
You'll be amazed who listens to this show.
Well, if you're not listening, well, I hope you put this in your dressing room tomorrow, because you're a shambles and you don't deserve to wear that St. Helens jersey. You do not.
Mm. Let's get back to some more
coming from Samuel, first of all, he says him and McManus should just give Scurry a voucher for a free burger and a pint and he'll come and motivate the players. But he also says, on a serious
cheap
one...
Cheap half the price.
And this is a good point from Sam. He says Saints scored from kicking to a vulnerable Eden. Next two sets on our line, they declined to go the same route and went for the power play. Dumb rugby.
Fair point.
L says, I would say the tactics Kieran played were poor, needs an on-pitch general. We lack that in game management.
Is that not what Smith's supposed to be doing?
Well, he was injured, wasn't he, for most of the...
He was injured on Saturday.
This is very true. Pete says Saints pack terrible. Only Walmsley has go forward. Roby ineffective behind a well-beaten pack. Saints don't have any game breakers. And Vinny said they don't get enough game time out of Roby nowadays. They've relied on him too much in the past. Connor is a witness fan, says it's not Saints players' fault they're not good enough. It's jobs for the boys. And Chris says, is Saints' problem that they're recovering from a lack of player investment due to what they spent off the field? Also, Langtree Park isn't a fortress like Knowsley Road was. Players and fans were intimidated at the old ground.
I'm not so sure about the intimidation factor. I think you get intimidated by, well, you'll know, Gary, by what's on the field, isn't it? You're not bothered about the stand or anything, are you?
Well, not really. No. The grounds was never a factor for me. Everybody knew what my philosophy was, quite simply, as a player, because I got it from my father at a very young age. Don't you worry about them, let them worry about you. That was my philosophy, simple as that. But, and I say... Just repeat myself again what I'm saying about these St. Helens players. You are cheating that shirt. You're a shambles. You have no desire and no respect. And at this moment in time, I say the people I'm sorry for, because Eamon McManus, he works his absolute socks off to bring the better for that club. Also to Mike Rush. Well, Mike, at this moment in time, the chief executive, the recruitment, so that might go down to his blame. He's gone over to Australia and brought this Australian coach in, Justin Holbrook. What the hell he's going to do for that dressing room, I don't really know, because he's coming in there where the season's finished. So what's he do? Is he in there for this season as an assessment of the players who are good enough? Also to ask a question... If you don't want to play for this club anymore, get yourselves out of this dressing room. And then thirdly, boy oh boy, they are cheating. They are cheating. That's St. Helens shirt. And you have no God-ridden right. You have no God-ridden right to go out there and win a rugby league game. You have to earn respect. You have to get respect. And at this moment in time, St. Helens players, they are making every excuse in the book, and it's a blame game.
Yeah, all right.
It's fair enough.
A few people have asked us, is this what we said about Leeds last year? But somehow they seem to have turned things around, don't they, in the space of 12 months? Mainly for the fact they've signed a decent hooker in Matt Parcell, I would have said, was one of the reasons why. But
And I know they had a lot of injury problems and a lot was made about their training, etc. But apart from Lomax, that was St. Helens, wasn't it, on the field on Saturday? And that's the worrying thing. That's the worrying thing.
I know Gary's not a huge fan of stats, and they can tell you sometimes what you want them to tell you, but...
St Helens,
31 missed tackles.
Phil, the stat was 53-10.
But on
that
the basis...
That is the stat I look at.
31 missed tackles. That's collective responsibility, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh. I think cheating is too harsh a word for anybody that plays this game of rugby league. I wouldn't say anybody's cheating anything. I just also think that they are on a slide, and there are very good teams. Mm. Wigan, 2006, that once you go on a losing run, like Leeds last year, like Huddersfield at the moment, who up until two seasons ago were week on week the most consistent team in Super League. They couldn't do it in finals, but in the regular season, they were the team that had the highest percentage winning rate. As much as you can go on a run of victory, you can go on the skids.
You can.
And Saints are on.
I look at Super League now, and I'm looking at the bottom six, with the exception of Warrington, and potentially Lee have only just got in the competition. But if you were to mark recruitment out of 10 or whatever, the other four sides in the bottom would all be in the bottom of that list because they haven't recruited well enough.
Also, as well, St Helens get beat this week against Hull, which they will get beat, right? And Warrington win. Warrington play Wigan, and if Warrington there, St Helens drop into the bottom four. Isn't that what John Wilkins says about self-belief and confidence? Isn't that enough motivation to say, hey, listen, we don't want to be in this position. We've got to sort ourselves. Right then, an example. The way what I'm saying about cheating, Phil, I'm not saying the throwing games and they're not merely a mixed tackle. But what I'm saying is the cheating that jersey. In a way, there's no desire, there's no effort, and there's no commitment for that St Helens jersey. And let's follow the example. We'll look at the prime example last year. What the Hull players did to Radford after that performance against Widnes. The players took responsibility, and this is what I'm saying now about these St Helens.
Well, this season is step number one that they say, right, we are in a battle now to be in the top eight. Rather than talking about we want to play great rugby and win things, do they need to say, right, hang on, lads, we've got to make sure we don't finish in the bottom
four? Could it just be that they've lost their way? That under Kieran, he wanted them to play a style of rugby that might have been winning rugby but was an anathema to them. It wasn't something they were comfortable with. Now that's not worked. Do they need Holbrook here just as soon as they can, who's primary task at the moment at the Sydney Roosters is attack, and they are one of the most attractive teams to watch.
Yeah, but so tell us,
defensively they're awful.
But if they get more of a feel that they're playing to a style that suits them, will not the defence come along with that?
Some people will look and say St Helens beat Cass a month ago. But
yes,
we were there. Scott. Cass, I don't think Cass could have played any worse if they'd tried.
And it was one of the goal kicks as well. Yeah. Where Cass scored 5 tries to 4.
Yeah.
And it was, and St Helens had got a couple of penalty goals. So they only lost on goal kicks.
Mm.
And Dallo Powell said we was there anyway. It was one of Cass's worst performances.
What about junior recruitment?
Well, what's happened to this young Richardson? When I spoke to Mike Rush, when Leeds played Lee, what now, 8 weeks ago there, and I said to him, you know, how is it? And, you know, because I mentioned, I said, well, listen, Jordan Lee's our favourite Leeds, why don't you get Jordan Lee? And Mike Rush said to me, young Richardson, no, he's got a squad number, I think his squad number's 24. He said, I couldn't do it to him because we believe in this young Richardson. Played one game and been booted out.
Yeah. All right, let's get more.
Hold on, but I tell you what, he would show the desire, he would show the respect, he would show the effort and commitment for that St.
Helens jersey. Well, you talked earlier about man management, and he's been bombed, hasn't he?
But he was blamed by Kieran.
Well, he was actually named.
Yeah. Is this part of the problem?
Well, there you go, back to your man
management. Well, he wouldn't blame the players who are his mates.
Well, certainly not. No, give them a new contract.
Grez says, Saturday was the first time any Castleford team put 50 points past St. Helens. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but Greg says it is, so I believe him. Stephen says, difference between Leeds and St Helens is that even though they were losing, they had desire. Saints have lost it. Saints are losing. Doesn't mind Saints losing as long as there is an effort.
Look, I started, when I first was a Bradford fan, they were the worst team in that. They were awful. But you go every week, they'd have a go, you can accept your team being rubbish, as long as they have a dig for you, and you go home thinking, yeah, all right, we are rubbish, they've got better players, such is life. Those Saints fans, and credit, they're about 100, 200 of them stayed and clapped the team off, they did clap them off. But they must have been heartbroken by what they saw. I couldn't believe how far St Helens have fallen in such a quick time. Go on, Rich.
Mark says Cass had Roberts on the bench who turned the game, and Saints didn't.
Well, he did. Oh no, go on, read it. I want you to read that one out.
Saints had Wilkin, who was more interested in becoming a broadcaster.
There you go.
And he was on the telly the next day.
Yeah.
Same old faces. John says, sitting back and letting Cass play isn't the way. Also, Wilkin isn't a half. Let Smith do the last tackle options. Lisa says, Taylor and Morgan have been disappointing signings for Saints.
Disappointing? Well, edited, Lisa. I'd have said something else.
David says, good point. Maybe due to the salary cap, we're not having the usual teams, i.e. St. Helens, at the top. Isn't this a good thing, and what the salary cap was designed for?
I would completely agree. Leeds are under the salary cap. They're fourth, fighting hard. Wigan, despite having an absolute traumatic season with injury, a fifth. Yeah, so I think, yeah, I agree. We'll get what you're saying, but...
Why did Joe Greenwood want to leave St. Helens?
Why was he allowed to leave St. Helens? Not that, obviously, he's going to move on, but why did he go instantly?
We wouldn't deny him the possibility of playing in the NRL, but why release him immediately?
Pete says teams have lost the fear playing Saints at Knowsley Road on the pitch. Teams were beat before they got there.
Well, no, I think teams last year lost the fear of playing Leeds, but Leeds have rectified this year.
I think the other thing about that is that the two most intimidating grounds when I was growing up was the Boulevard and Wilderspool, and it seems that Holland Warrington have done okay despite moving to new stadiums.
Simon says, teams not giving Cass enough respect. All teams have said in interviews that this doesn't happen at Cass, it's player attitude. I think that's fair. I don't agree with John Wilkins saying, who am I to disagree with him? It's his career. He knows what he's done and what he hasn't done. I can't see that being the lowest point when you're losing to a team who are top of the league and who have beaten Wigan Leeds.
I think you can say it was one of the lowest points for that 10 minutes before half time.
Fair enough.
Them players are just looking for any excuse in the book.
Alan says there's plenty of talent in the Saints team that any other Super League club would pounce on. They are currently lacking desire and commitment, which is shameful. But is there? Is there the talent in that Saints squad? Because, like I say, if you look on paper at the moment, how many of those players were getting Wakefield's team? Two?
It's a fair point. Wormsley would.
And I use Wakefield as an example.
Wormsley would.
I would say, it's not what they're saying, Wakefield's got a bad pack.
If I was a CEO of another club or a coach, and I'd be Wormsley.
Makinson. Lomax.
No, Lomax is injured, isn't it? Percival, and that would be about it. That would be it. That would be mine for the St. Helens players.
So this is the point when TV goes on and say, oh, Saints, you know, this, that. You can't say, oh, Saints are this because of what they were 2, 3, 5, 10, 15 years ago. Wakefield were great 40 years ago, but it doesn't mean they should be great now. Although they are, it's great. Ant says, changing the subject, but always listen to your show. My 5-year-old son goes rugby training on a Monday evening. I love listening to you guys. He was the match day mascot on Saturday, one very proud dad. Ant, who does he play for?
Yeah, we'll give him a shout out. Yeah, or where does he go training or whatever? Oh, it's good to hear about our younger fans.
Neil says Scotia should be on the telly. There's currently a discussion on Facebook about people who they do and don't like.
If he wears those shorts out on a night out on Saturday, he probably will be on telly. Crime Stoppers, file 111.
Nigel's asked me, what is with my constant anti-BBC sniping? This is me. Their coverage, presentation, commentary, much better than Sky. Can't necessarily agree on all of that.
No.
Especially not when, you know, we don't need Robbie Hunter-Paul wandering on the pitch every 2 minutes. No. Which is probably Cass's fault for scoring all those tries. They do.
Blame Cass.
Mark Chapman is a very good presenter.
Have you seen that breaking news, by the way?
I've just seen it, yeah. Mark Chapman's a very good presenter. I think the BBC do lots of things good, but they do lots of things bad.
No, there's some breaking. It's quite important breaking news.
Rangy Chase has joined Witness on loan.
Came in for him a couple of weeks ago, got turned down.
I don't really think he deserves it, talking about him. He's been given too much chances. But also, as well, it'd be interesting if it was on telly, it'd be interesting to sat next to John Wilkin, wouldn't it? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, the interesting thing about the Rangy Chase news is that obviously there's been plenty of rumours about where he was going, not what's happened. Toronto's been named, but Widnes obviously need a boost ahead of the Magic Weekend.
Well, they've got two Warrington players in today as well. So.
And they've signed an England international.
Well, at the end of the day, Cass have had enough, haven't they? Simple as that.
Cass, does that make you more worried as a Wakefield fan?
Not particularly.
No?
No. Pete says Robbie Hunter-Paul made more yards than the Saints pack.
I thought they'd signed him halfway through.
I thought they were going to bring him on. Liam says, I feel sorry for Percival. He's a top talent, but not getting a chance to show it. Stood behind the post. This could be part of the reason Bennett overlooked him for a Hardacre. Luke says, Wormsley doesn't play enough minutes for him. Plenty of...
I don't think the St. Helens fans... I think... I think they're showing the respect there. Where I don't think we've been too harsh, to be honest with them, St. Helens players, are we? Eh? I think we've just been honest and truthful about the way that they are for that St. Helens jersey. It's disgraceful. It is. Absolutely disgraceful. And stop blaming everybody else and get on with the job what you're paid to do.
Do you think there's been enough succession planning at Saints?
No, I don't think there has.
They knew they had some generational players, and they're almost impossible to replace. But at some point, you know, they aren't going to be there anymore. Is it that they're in that void now where the youngsters coming through either haven't yet got the experience or aren't yet going to be of that level, and that there is a void?
Maybe so.
We'll see. But keep your interactions coming in then. Rangy Chase has gone to witness.
But we'll be the show here, just finishing with the centre. You Hull fans, you ever got an issue this weekend? Look at the League Express. I've tipped Hull to beat that pathetic St. Helens side by 34 points.
Well, we'll see.
Unless Hull believe they've just got to turn up and the job will be done.
I know, for Lee Radford won't let that happen. Don't worry about that.
You would hope not.
He will not let that happen.
OK, loads of interaction. Don't forget, if you have interacted with the show tonight via Twitter, at RL on RY, or on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page, you'll be entered for two tickets to go to the Magic Weekend this weekend, courtesy of the RFL. All you've got to do is get in touch with the show. If you listen on the podcast, you've still got time. 10 a.m. Wednesday morning, we'll be doing the draw. We'll announce those via social media when the draw has been done.
Exciting news last week, of course, was the return of the Lions, which you've heard about every week when, you know, they need to get some positive press out. Nigel will say, Lions are coming back. And everyone goes, oh, great, Lions are coming back. We'll forget everything else. Alan said, what would be Gary's management team for the Lions? Tour management, coach and assistants.
Well, let me answer that, Alan. Gary would be the manager. He would be the coach.
No,
he would be the assistant coach.
No,
he'd be the hospitality organiser. He'd be in charge of all the freebies that were given to the team. And he would he'd do you a good 20 minutes at number six.
Yeah, that's a bit harsh.
Well, I'm only saying
harsh.
It as I see
that's
it.
That's a bit harsh. Eh? It's quite obvious, but Mark, he'd have to pick his own assistants and national team manager. But I don't know if I might be the team. I'd like the position of the team manager, but Darrell Powell should be the Great Britain coach. Then we all know who we'd pick. It would pick Arpax, I'm sure. He would bring Arthur Sheridan and Danny Orr in there. Maybe bring
Kane Lynette, Tyson Frizzell.
From there, you know. So Darrell Powell would be the Great Britain coach, and he'll bring him who he wants, and I'm available for team manager.
What would be your ethos as team manager? What would be the rule as everyone got off the plane? What would be your advice to the lads?
Everywhere where we go, when we're training, playing, and also too when we're doing all the social media work, when we're doing all the entertainment work, we all do it with a smile on our face, and we enjoy what we do. That's a philosophy. Simple man management.
What's your stance on having a sherbet after the game?
Don't have an issue with that. Don't have any, as long as it's not too daft. And they say that there won't be any curfews, you know, because you've got to treat men as men. You don't treat them like kids. Obviously, because I've heard Warren Gatland say about with the Lions that are coming up there. Yeah, after the games they'll be allowed a drink after the game, but they have to be back at the hotel for 12, 1 o'clock. I don't see an issue with that whatsoever. Listen, players, it's like everybody going to work from Monday to Friday. Players after the game, they love a drink. They love a beer, and I say as long as it's not over the top, then they're saying also as well, let's hope it's all celebration drinks, but there would not be an alcohol ban if I was in charge. And Darrell as well, you know, every time when I see Darrell at Cass or whatever, you know, he likes a drink after the game. And I think the Cass players as well, they have a couple of beers from there. So it's all about man management, and I say let the players enjoy themselves a little bit. There's a time and place for everything.
So for the Lions to have value and meaning, it can't be England rebranded.
No, because the Aussies won't accept that.
Which leads to two questions. One is, how do you increase the standard of Scotland, Wales and Ireland? Because there have to be those players in the Lions to make it viable.
Well, they're not good enough, are they? Because Richard De La Vier has done a good
but
piece.
What if...
Alves is not good enough for Great Britain. He's mentioned exactly that you're saying here, Phil.
But what if, let's say, Lachlan Coote plays for Scotland in the World Cup?
He's an Aussie.
No, he's playing for Scotland in the World Cup.
Is it Australian?
He is eligible to play for Great Britain.
Oh, Phil, he's Australian.
No, but he's Scottish. He's not playing for Australia in the World Cup.
He's taking his glasses off. He's taking his glasses off.
Tyson Frizzell doesn't get picked for Australia. He reverts to playing for Wales.
Phil, let's not go down this road again.
No.
They're Australians, Phil.
But
Scotland have to pick Australia, they have to pick every Tom, Dick and Harry because they've got enough players.
How do you make Great Britain different from England?
Well, with the best will in the world, Phil, you look at the old Great Britain and Irish Lions, there's only two, or there were only two, in a 41-man squad from Scotland. I know they've got another one in since, but you've got to pick who's available. But yeah. I would imagine but if the lure of such a tour might encourage lads that are thinking, I'll go play for Scotland.
Well, Michael McAlorum is thinking of playing for Ireland in the World Cup because his chances of playing for England are receding.
And what have we always said? Which if that option is there for the guys regularly, they would commit more. Just throwing in
at the moment, bearing in mind that we have not got the schedule for Scotland, Wales and Ireland for the next couple of years.
That's the biggest crime out of all of this.
So, assuming that we're basing our selections just at this moment on the players that play in the World Cup for the respective nations. So, Keith Galloway, if he's fit, will be playing for Scotland. He will be Scotland's prop.
He's an Australian, Phil.
No. He's playing for Scotland. He's not played representative rugby for anyone else. He is a passionate Scot. He spends a lot of his time when he's not playing, either watching Celtic or visiting
Australia. He's playing for New South Wales. He's playing for Australia.
But if he's playing for Scotland in this World Cup, is he eligible to play for Great Britain?
I thought he was, because he's played for a class as tier one or whatever.
He played for tier one years ago. I think if he now elects to play for Scotland, they need to admit the rules.
I think, look, if you've played for Australia, New Zealand or England, then that is you.
But if you play in this World Cup that's coming up for any of those three nations that are in it, Ireland, Scotland or Wales, and you are heritage-based players, should you be able to play for Great Britain?
I think based on the criteria now, then you have to say yes, don't you?
Yes.
If they're good enough to play, or if they're allowed to play. I know it's not the answer he wants, but that's the answer you're getting at the minute. What I would argue is they need to look at the rulings now, and I think you need to say... And this is where you need Ireland, Scotland, Wales to be playing more games, and then lads can say, so you're saying,
what Phil Kaplan just said, Galloway and who? That Lachlan?
If he's eligible to play, would he get picked? Would he get picked? So you'd say, pick a fucking, eligible to be selected for Great Britain?
Would he play? No.
Would he get picked?
Well, you've answered your own question, two different issues. Are they eligible to play? That's a sensible debate that we should be having now before the Lions is reformed.
No, Australia should be eligible to play for England and Great Britain.
But they won't be playing for Australia. They will be playing for the three of the four nations that make up the Lions.
Only Scotland and Ireland are selected because they haven't got the numbers anyway, have they? You know?
I'm of the opinion, Phil, once you've played either representative and what about that when you're state of origin or for Australia, then there is no way you're allowed
to play for England.
There is a debate that needs to be had now.
Before this World Cup.
Well, yeah, but I'd say more importantly, you need to sort some fixtures out for the other countries.
The other thing is, how can you announce there is a Great Britain Lions tour, but not announce who they're going to be playing?
Correct. Yeah.
Now, in what other sport would you say, 2019, they are going down under? Well, who are they playing? Are they playing three tests against Australia, one against New Zealand? Are they playing a midweek test against Tonga?
Is it going to be a proper tour? Are they going to places like Rotorua and Christchurch?
I wouldn't have thought they will, because it's at the end of the Wellington, but perhaps they could play Samoa in Wellington.
But it's, you know, it's better to say, yeah, but if it's a proper tour...
How can you announce Great Britain and not the fixtures?
But is it not... This is what I've said this before. If you slightly amend the season, so if, say, we're going there... Our season kicks off a month early. We go there as their season is ending. You could play some games then.
Or teams that are knocked out of the playoffs, you could maybe pick up a game if you take a squad of 30, you should be playing some midweek games because not everybody will have the opportunity. So even if you've got three tests against Australia on a weekend and one against New Zealand, so you're there for four weekends, that enables you to play four midweek games.
Absolutely, yeah.
And those four midweek games may not be against Manly at Brookvale or...
No, go out to Wagga Wagga or go to Rockhampton and this
I think
place.
You should
it's
be
Tamworth.
Playing Samoa, correct. Fiji, or a Pacific Island select, Papua New Guinea, and maybe play them in Townsville, where there's a big PNG expat, but we won't
be picking our strongest side because they would be classed as test matches. But if we're going to do a proper tour, we've got to go to places like Tamworth and Wagga and Rockhampton, you know, to let people see our national side because that's what touring's all about. But I'm sure in agreement, we'd all have Darryl Powell as a Great Britain coach. Are we all in agreement with that?
Yeah, at the minute. Yeah, Sean Wayne, I think Sean Wayne is, would have a part to play for me.
You wouldn't have Sean and Dal, they wouldn't have it as...
Well, maybe not, but,
you know. But yeah, you wouldn't rule out Sean, but Darryl Powell would... Phil, would you have Dello Pal as a Great Britain coach?
Why wouldn't you consider Mark Aston or Steve McCormack or John Keir, who happen to be the coaches of Wales, Scotland and Ireland?
Dello Pal's the best coach.
I'm just saying, why wouldn't you consider John Keir would be a fabulous
appointment. You mean as Great Britain?
Yeah, John Keir would be a...
John Keir's had his go at England coach.
Yeah, he's doing well with Wales.
They're not playing nobody.
Well, they've got to the World Cup.
They're not playing anybody, are they?
I don't think he's the only candidate.
All right. No, I would agree with that. As long as it's not an Australian. Let's get to social media.
Gary Carter is the man in the know about all these things. Anyone who's eligible for Wales, Scotland or Ireland is eligible for Great Britain.
Yeah.
That's been confirmed. And
yeah, that's right as
and
well.
But I guess people who qualify to
heritage
play for Wales and Ireland and Scotland are not necessarily born in Wales and Scotland. And Gary also says, England are going on tour at the same time as Great Britain, although we don't know where Great Britain are going on tour. So does that mean England as in England A, as in England Knights, as in England, not Great Britain?
I think there's a chance that there could be a European Championship in 2018 and 19 that will be a Six Nations. England will be one of those nations, and it's a perfect time to bring back the England Knights.
As Dina says, there's talk about Great Britain playing Queensland and New Zealand. Not sure whether that's a good idea or not.
Well, at the same time, they'd struggle.
Lisa says,
but no, playing a midweek game against Queensland or New South Wales.
Exactly.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
What if we lose?
Yeah.
Lions teams have traditionally lost in Queensland.
Before we played Combine Queensland, I depressed my cheekbone. And there's a story about this.
Since then, you've been depressing us for every Monday night.
I went to tackle a second row round his legs. Anyway, he stuck his knee out anyway. He smashed me facing. And that was in 19...
Who is he? Can we send him a gift of some kind?
This is what I'm going to tell you here now. So when I went back out for the World Cup in 2008, I was in the hotel in Brisbane. Anyway, so it's a Thursday night and I'm in the bar and just having a few drinks with a few people. Anyway, this big guy came up to me, an Aussie fella there, and he says, how are you, Scott? I says, yeah, I'm fine, yeah, yeah. He says, I can remember you back in 1984. I said, oh, yeah, yeah. Where was it? Were you in Sydney or been in Queensland? He said, oh, no, it's in Queensland. I played against you. I went, all right, yeah, which game was it? You know, was it Rockhampton? I said, oh, no, we played at Lampard, Combine Queensland. So I went, oh, yeah. And I looked at him and I thought, yes. So I said to me, you know what I'm going to say now, don't I? I says, you're the guy who depressed my cheekbone, aren't you? He went, yeah, I am. I said, I'm sorry. So I said, no, don't worry about that. I said, I shouldn't have tried tacking. I wasn't very good at tacking anyway. So we spent the next 3 hours just reminiscing about it, smashing my cheekbone. So, yeah, it was a good tale.
Very good.
Yeah. So after all them years, from 84 to 2008, the guy who depressed my cheekbone, hopefully I'll see him in Queensland again this year.
Very good.
Good times.
Very good. Lots of social media interaction coming in.
Is any from the St. Helens plane saying, listen, Scoey, we'll stop sulking and we'll start trying to be rugby league players? From the Saints players?
There's some people just happy that you're not going on about St. Helens, and that's St. Helens fans because you're sporting the truth.
Fewer people saying, are Widnes desperate in signing Ryan Chase? And I think the answer is yes. Yes, they are.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because desperate teams do desperate things. Hence why Wakefield signed Kevin Locke a couple of years ago.
But you know what, then? Because we all know, right, Rangi as a player. How is he going to fit in to Widnes? Because he's a maverick of a player. He does his own individual thing. How is he going to fit into a bit of a structure at Widnes, then? How's that going to work out?
They're just so short of players at the moment.
Yeah, I understand, Phil.
Dennis will get the best out of him.
I understand that, but how is he going to, get the understanding from the players around him?
I just hope nobody uses the phrase last chance saloon, because you can't keep being in the last chance saloon.
No. Let's go.
Yeah, elsewhere, lots of people... Ian's saying he's glad Gary's not talking about Saints anymore. a long list of people who could play for Great Britain. Regan Grace, he's only played about 3 games.
Yeah,
but he has played more for Wales than he has for St Helens.
Let's stop over-hyping him before he's had a career. Ben Flower, Greg McNally, Reece Evans, Ben Evans, anyone with Evans at the end, Gil Dudson, Matthew Russell, Greg Burke, all people who could play... for Great Britain on this tour of we don't know where yet, Papua New Guinea.
Was Danny Brough in that list? Somewhere.
Well, someone said, yeah, this is David, yeah, maybe he could finally get a call up for Great Britain.
Hmm?
I'd love to see him get in the GB squad. 2019, how old will he be?
You won't pick Danny Brough now. He's not just with Luke Gale, is he? And Widdop and Williams. You won't pick Danny Brough now.
His time's been gone, hasn't it?
Yeah, his time's gone.
I don't think Gale's going to start at 7, though, is he, for England in the World Cup, the way things are looking. Powell's Great Britain coach, there are a lot of people. Sean Wayne as well. What about, says Pete Lee Radford. best man management in Super League. Look at what he's done with Albert Kelly. Don't mention Albert Kelly, Pete.
Oh, he's gone and said it now, hasn't he?
No, no reason that Lee Radford couldn't be considered for the post. Absolutely.
Well, exactly. See, this is... because I was speaking to David Howes at the weekend, and I was talking about, you know, with Wayne Bennett being coach of England. You know, we had plenty of candidates to be the England coach in Powell, Sean Wayne, Lee Radford, and there wouldn't have been any debates about it. Just because Wayne Bennett says, I'm available for the World Cup, big nice panics, ooh, we have to get Wayne in, he's got to be our England coach. We have got great candidates to be our national coach. We have, and there wouldn't be any disagreement if Sean got it, if Darrell got it, or Lee Radford, would there?
Or Brian McDermott.
No, there wouldn't be any.
He's with USA.
Or Ian Watson at Salford's doing a great job, bringing him as assistant, you know.
Could he's just Welsh. Red Devils.
Could he? Well, it's part of Great Britain, though.
He's
part of Great Britain.
That would
you
work.
Know, so... because his philosophy about Chris
Steve
Chester,
Steve McCormack,
you can sling Chris Chester in there as well. They like to play the game the same way. So we've got loads of candidates, and we have Wayne Bennett. Miserable git.
Yeah, somebody else.
You won't be going round for his when you're on your World Cup tour, then.
Well, I'm on the glory days, and we're doing England players doing question and answers and meet the players evenings, you know, with the speckies and what have you.
You'll be round at Wayne's, will you?
It's here now. Look. I'll just read a couple out here now. Thursday, November the 2nd, Q&A session with two players and two staff members. Only
Chris McQueen and Chris Hyde.
Yeah, a gem.
Welcome along, boys. Welcome along.
Great to be here. 10th of November, 6 or 7 players will attend. And then on 11th of November, a final match training session. This is the team room before the match on the Sunday. And you will be able to watch the training do a 15-minute signing session. It's going to be fun and games, isn't it?
It's
going
to be fun. It's almost worth going just to watch that. Never mind a rugby.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be fun and games.
It is indeed.
As I said, Kevin Cunningham is available to coach. GB. Coach, yeah. Play for England as well. Remember the Welsh Rebunion said, oh, he's not really Welsh when he turned them down. That was great. Chris says, do you think Catalan struggled halfway through a season due to travelling? They were shambolic against Hull. Big win for Hull. 62-0 in the Challenge Cup.
Although Mark Snead couldn't kick his goals.
Catalans are the Wigan of France because everyone's injured.
Or is it because they lost 62-0 that gives them the right to go on and win the grand final?
Oh, of course. Get your fridge magnets, they'll be on the internet.
I have to say, you know, you look at the team, Lucas Albert at fullback, all right, Depor Thornley, Arthur Romano on his debut, Yahar Walsh, Miles, Moa, Da Costa, Casti, Bosquet, but then you've got Perez, Belmas, Segea, Margolet and Kadimi. They are very, very limited. I think that it'd be interesting how many of those play against the Giants at the weekend. That's a much bigger game for
Catalan. They knew that they weren't going to win the Challenge Cup this year. They were also going to the home of the holders, who have every incentive to repeat their feat of winning at Wembley for the first time last year. I just think the Challenge Cup went off the radar for Catalan when they are perilously close to the bottom four. Huddersfield is a big game for them.
It's a huge game. It'll be live on Radio Yorkshire. Don't forget that.
You'll be the only person in the stadium, but it'll be...
Oh!
I'll be there.
I've said it.
Hold on, I've just got a call. Oh. It's RFL, hold on. Tell Kaplan he can't come.
Why would you put that on first? When you know that's going to be the lowest attendance game, why would you put it on first?
Well, I've put him a column as well. It'll be a pretty hard watch, and it will be maybe pretty hard that you don't nod off, to be honest with you. That's what I've
But at least if you put it in the middle
building
of the game.
For the listeners.
You put it
tune in, please.
It might be for so that the 30,000 or whatever, 35,000 that are there on Saturday can come in and sleep off their hangover.
I mean, I thought...
Or get topped up, ready for the Castle
League. Well, we won't be sleeping.
Anyway, we've got to move on. Quickly, get some more of that in, and then we're going to talk revenge.
There is no revenge.
We're talking revenge.
Philly says, I agree about Bennett breaking no pots and as much personality as a jar of Marmite. Mind you, I like Marmite much more. They had a good comeback, Brisbane, this week against Manly.
Right.
Got up early and watched them in NRL this week. Great try from Gold Coast to beat Melbourne. Go and watch that. Robin said it could be Catalan's
first. They only play five drives and a kick in Australia.
And what's his name scored? McQueen, fresh from his England debut, scored a try for the Gold Coast.
There you go.
Robin says it could be Catalan's versus Toulouse in the middle eights.
Could be,
but that won't be on telly.
It'll be on French telly.
But
I like Lisa's message. Gail won't be playing seven. It'll be Trent Hodgkinson.
People are ready because it's 10 to 8. and people are ready for our predictions.
Yeah, they are. So quickly then, before that, Scully, Leeds is telling me this is not a revenge match on Sunday. They are lying to me, Gary Schofield. They are lying.
Without a doubt, it is revenge. I can reassure you, it is revenge, and I can't wait for this fixture. Cannot wait for it, because we all know what happened. Is it 10 weeks ago now, Phil, when Casford gave us an absolute hiding? It was an embarrassment.
Record Super League defeat.
66-10, and oh boy, this is revenge. They're Leeds players, that's what they will be talking about in this dressing room. And the thing about it, Macca as a coach will not need any motivation for them players, because I would imagine that Macca might just show the interview what he said after that game when he says, I wouldn't have expected my under-19s to come down here and play as badly and concede that many points. I can reassure you, this is revenge time for the Leeds players. And don't worry about this, Mark. Don't worry about it. The Casper players will know exactly as well, because they know they embarrassed the Leeds side. They embarrassed the Leeds club field, didn't they? You know, with that performance. So, boy, oh, boy, am I waiting for this fixture. This should be an absolute classic, and this will be the best game at the Magic Weekend. It is revenge time for the Rhinos, but one thing for sure, Casper will be up for it. I can't wait for it. Cannot wait for
Live on Radio Yorkshire on Sunday at night, 5 o'clock.
It's not revenge, Phil. It's benchmarking.
Phil,
to see
on,
how far
Phil.
Leeds have come.
Come on, Phil. Course
Phil,
it's revenge
come
time.
On.
Both in the table, league.
Phil, you as a Leeds supporter exactly as I am. Surely you was embarrassed by that. This
it's
is revenge time,
it's
Phil.
It's not revenge.
Of course
they've
not.
They've got to play each other again yet.
Phil, you're like
and they might even play each other again in
Phil,
two.
Phil, you're like on. Tim Edmund with that weak that weak fist pump he used to do at Wimbledon. Get some
it's
spirit in your mouth.
Benchmarking is to see how far Leeds have come.
Oh, no. Here we go. So if they only lose by fifty, does that mean you're happy they're in
Cass,
well,
does that mean we've got better?
Cass have maintained their intensity at the top. They have not deviated from the standard that they have set. Let's see how near Leeds can get to that standard.
So you don't think we'll win then on Sunday?
No, I think Cass would start as favourites. Absolutely.
But you don't think the talk of revenge won't be in that? Of course, it's got to be.
No, they won't talk about
it.
Right, that's
be,
where
Phil.
We're starting predictions, Scully. What's the score going to be?
Well, I think it's going to be pretty close, but the Cass, you know, I'm going about revenge. So, yeah, but the way it won't be...
Revenge, Cass will win.
It won't be that scoreline. Well, I'm hoping it's not that scoreline, but Cass would know Leeds are going to come, Leeds are going to rip in, but it's going to be the best game, but I just feel
you do know that every neutral in that ground will want to see another 66-10,
yeah,
don't
I
you?
Know.
You do.
Yeah, yeah, but I think there's you know, the way the Cass are playing, you know, it doesn't give me any joy, but the way they're going, I think they might just get it. I'm going Cass by 7. Don't boo my Leeds fans, but I'm going Cass by 7. Right. I'm going to be open and
well,
honest.
Yeah,
I've got to be honest, I'm going
Cass
by 7.
I think
Cass
will
seven.
Win, but it won't be 66-10.
Okay. Cass by 7.
12.
Cass, obviously.
Yeah, I think this is a game Cass have to win, because for everyone's talking about how good they are, they could potentially not be top of the league if they lose this game, so they need to win. And I think they might just have enough. I think obviously Hardacre could be injured, but we'll worry about that at the weekend. We start off Wakefield Widnes. Scully, got to be quick now if you're running out of time.
Easy for Wakefield, playing tremendous football league. Easy for Wakefield. Wakefield by 24.
A lot of spirit in the Widnes performance against Warrington, I thought, but they've just run out of troops, so yeah, I'm going with Wakefield.
18, yeah, I think Wakefield should get the job done. Hull Saints, go ahead.
Black and Whites, easy for the Black and Whites. No desired commitment from St. Helens. This will be easy for the Black and Whites. St. Helens are going into the bottom four this weekend after getting beat by Hull. Hull by 34.
OK.
Justin Holbrook turns up unexpectedly. A massive revival in the Saints ranks and Hull win.
Where's Jeff Tuvey? 12.
Yeah, I'm going to go Hull by 16. Warrington Wigan.
Yeah, again, Wigan injuries, and I say Warrington on a bit of a roll. I'm just going by that. Warrington to win by 10.
Wigan love the Magic Weekend. Inspires them. I'm going Wigan narrowly, especially with the cup tie on the horizon between the two teams.
Warrington by 4. May change
I'm
going to
go Wigan, just purely because I don't think Warrington are still not playing that well. So I'm going for Wigan.
And they're
going
to have a couple of players missing.
Possibly. Catalans Huddersfield, Scully. Scully, wake up. You're on the radio. Wake up.
Huddersfield by 8.
Huddersfield by 8?
Huddersfield by 8.
Interesting to see how...
Well, of course, Catalans are rubbish.
Interesting to see how Martin Ridyard fits in. I think that's a really, really
good
interesting
signing
by Huddersfield. I don't know if it's a good sign or not, but
yeah,
it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
It depends what Catalans squad is. I don't think we can even pick that at the moment.
Huddersfield by 6.
I'll go Huddersfield as well. Lee Salford.
Yeah, Salford are just playing too well out there. Lee, they won't sort the discipline problems out, and Salford for mine by 16.
Yeah, Salford, I think. Yeah.
Salford 18.
Okay, right, and the final one. Oh, we've already had that one. So, yeah, that's
six,
it.
After six games. That's the six games.
That's the six games. Yes. Very good. We are almost done. Don't forget, four live games across the weekend. Widnes Wakefield to kick us off at 1:30. Hull Saints follows that. And then on Sunday, we're Catalan Huddersfield. And then we've got Sunday night live in the afternoon, and then we're back for Castleford against Leeds. Can't wait!
But all the listeners who are out there, you know, whether you support Leeds, Salford, Leeds, Widnes, whatever, if you see the lads out there, you know, we'll be around in Newcastle Saturday night. If you see us, you know, we don't mind. You know, we don't mind a couple of drinks and whatever. Come and say hello. If you enjoy the show, come and tell us. If you don't, well, come and tell us even so, and still just buy us a drink because we love your company. We love the feedback. I can't wait to see.
And most of all, it loves freebies.
I can't wait to see it. And you said, tell us fans, free. I can't wait to see you.
Joe's asked. Who wins the signed ball by the legend? We're going to have to narrow them down. We've had quite a lot of entries. We'll reveal that next week. If you're listening on the podcast or you're listening tonight, if you send us a tweet at RLNRY or a Facebook comment, you will be put in the draw to win two tickets. We will announce that at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, courtesy of the RFL. Welcome along to everyone that's joined us tonight.
Has there been many comments about the legend in the
Too many. Be quiet. We'll show you them in a minute. Thank you for everyone that's got involved. Don't forget, you can download the podcast. Go and do that in about 10 minutes.
That's pressure.
Got some pressure on the RSW, who's got to press some buttons on this computer first before he runs away. That's it as far as we go. Great show. Great 2 hours. We are here every Monday night, 6 until 8. If you've enjoyed it, tell your friends. If you've not, blame Scoey. And we'll see you again next week. Scoey, burn those shorts. They are absolutely horrendous.